what's the Erfurt number?
I think it's 206.
I was close, honey.
What'd you guess?
I said 205.
I said 200 and some fucking number.
That's exactly what you said, too.
Provisionalism.
200 and some fucking number.
Welcome to Notcast. It's like, we call it the professional podcast for Yiffy fur fags.
Don't you already have a title picked out?
Well, you called it Convention Reports.
Convention Q&A.
Okay.
I wanted to call it.
But episode 206. Fucking in the stairwell.
Yiff, motherfuckers.
Yeah, backroom stall.
I can't believe there's going to be a fifth Die Hard movie.
Yiffer Kaye, Mother Russia. I love
Die Hard 5. Die really fucking hard. Okay. So we can keep this silly shit in.
Yeah.
Welcome to Notcast, episode 207, Convention Q&A.
In color.
In color.
A Yiffy podcast for Murray Furfags.
Murray Purry Scurry.
We have bonus foxes tonight.
Yes, so there are lots of foxes this week.
Everyone will do their intros here. So I'm Fuzzwolf.
I'm Saverin.
I'm Kyo Foxtrot.
I'm Shiva.
And I'm Teal Fox.
So I just realized three foxes on one show.
So we've got Canid Cat.
Moo.
Moo.
Yerf.
She's an L-shaped cow cat. Oh,
man.
No.
Three foxes, man. My cock is going to have worn spots on it.
That's
by the
why you have
night.
The rape mobile.
That's terrifying.
So we had this discussion earlier that, like, getting a wolf mobile. And Keo was like, no, that sounds rapey. And it's like, no, it's not.
What could possibly go wrong?
It's not rapey at all. And he pointed out that my license plate says Raper 1 on it.
Raper 1. Subtlety isn't a woof thing.
I was
not at all.
For rapier, but they spelled it wrong. So you can see I have egg on my face.
It's not all you have on your face.
Whoops, my bad. I didn't mean to offend you.
No!
This is going weird places.
Yeah.
As if it doesn't ever.
How's in the meadow go moo? That's how you get hamburgers.
What?
That's how you get hamburgers.
Maybe I should just have my license plate say dog cock or something.
Oh, God.
Perfect.
Vicious red dog cock.
Horrifyingly realistic dog cock.
Yeah, I know
it's
Keo's got the dog cock red.
Of course
Micah's.
I do.
Yeah.
Because you get all the dog cock.
Well, duh.
My.
Veiny.
Okay. I'm just here in the corner.
Horrified. So.
No, I'm not a fascist surgeon. I just like dog cock.
Duh. Veiny. You're so vain.
So, anyway,
you think this cock is about you, don't you?
I'm glad you took it there. There's totally somebody I could say that about. But...
Oh.
I bet you think this podcast's about you.
Don't you?
I got that because it was played on the Muzak when I worked retail. So like every 15 songs it would roll around.
It got stuck in your brain whether you wanted it to or not and made a nest and had babies.
Yeah. Then it poured out of my ears or something.
Ah!
Little spider babies!
So welcome to Horrorcast.
Coming out your nostrils.
Welcome to body horror.
Normally it's Horrorcast, so this is different.
Yeah. Hey, we're off my horror.
Wait, though, it's not different. More foxes. Never mind.
Oh!
So... It's been a couple weeks since we recorded last.
So we don't need to update about our lives.
So, wait. Teal's got a purple drink. Teal's got a blue drink. At least you guys match your drinks.
Damn right.
We're gay.
Yes. Well, I was going to say.
I've got cola. That's brown. I got the shits, so I guess that.
No!
My character's head fur is brown. There. Is that better?
Somebody has
some shit, some motherfucker ain't on a airplane mode.
Oh, no.
Oh, girl.
Uh-huh.
Okay, nobody needs to talk to me. I'm on a podcast.
Yeah. Unfortunately, your neck sway doesn't translate over audio, Keo. It's a pity.
I'm told that a lot on our on my podcast, that we need facial expressions and body motions.
I wonder if the waveform goes like up and down. Motherfucker.
Oh god, there was that one animated one that people did to one of our Notcast episodes with just simple drawings, and it was actually hilarious. I could just see them putting something together to get Kyo's proper little neck waggle.
Set the cycle, and he just does just little head bob left noodly, and right for
an hour. Need an icon that's got like a noodly neck.
No, it's like that scientific toy that goes back and forth and clacks. It's like his neck. He started going, and it just keeps
that's
going.
His balls. Go, clack, clack, clack.
I certainly hope not.
No,
that's gonna be a noisy night.
Have you guys? Saturday night at the con. Woo! Sounded like the bells of the Sistine Chapel up in here. The bells of
Saint Experience are
on Christmas.
No!
Better Keo than me getting the abuse this week.
None of this.
Have you guys ever seen LA Story?
There's, I haven't, no.
There's this little bit of LA Story. It's Steve Martin and Richard E. Grant, and there's this clanging noise, and Steve Martin says, "What is that?" And he goes, "It's such a nuisance. It's my damn testicles."
No,
and it's
okay,
just
so
left unexplained. Yeah, it's an older movie. That was from the 90s, I think. You know,
I
like,
think so.
Like old times.
Was
the 90s.
It has Patrick Stewart in it. Briefly.
Wait, was he? Yes! Oh, he played the maitre d'.
He played the maitre d' at the restaurant.
God,
yeah.
That was brilliant. I need to watch that movie again. It's been like 20 hours since I've seen it. So, we totally did FC last week.
Yes, and that was what I was trying to get to, Fuzz.
Well, fuck you. I'm talking. It's a wolf thing.
He's feeling very, very threatened with all the foxes.
That's right. Let me give your mouse something to do other than talk about FC. So, my FC was great. I had all the bitches. What were you going to say?
He was all the bitches.
No.
All of them.
My FC was actually really tame. I didn't stay out that late, and I didn't party terribly hard. FC was pretty good, though. It was my first time at the con. Didn't really...
I forgot that.
You know, I have a lot of friends on the West Coast, and it was cool to see them, but FC really didn't do anything special that I saw.
Okay, so I'm not the only one that felt kind of let down by FC. Wrong word.
Bad fox. No biscuit for you.
Well, I mean, it was just another furry con. It didn't really do anything terribly special.
Yeah, at the end of the weekend, Saffron was like, well, that was a con.
Yeah, that was kind of how I felt last year when I went.
This was weird because, you know, this year, it was like the first con that I'd attended not to work behind the table in like 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know what to do with yourself?
Yeah, I went to panels, and they were entertaining. But it just... It didn't have its own flavor, really. It didn't feel like...
Every con has a feel, and that one just didn't have one.
Yeah, it didn't really have much of a feel.
Well, it's better than some cons that have a feel of desperation.
That's very true.
An unwashed body.
Oh, words.
Swallow that word, Keo.
I mean, it wasn't a bad experience. It was just an experience.
It's that con with Honey Boo Boo as a theme.
Oh, yeah, it's that con with Honey Boo Boo.
What the fuck is Honey Boo Boo? I keep hearing that thrown around.
Let's not go into that.
I was really kind of surprised, though. The dealer's den wasn't much bigger, if anything, than Fiesta's, and it's like twice the size number of people.
Yeah. It's not FC's not twice the size of Fiesta. It's like three times the size of Fiesta. It's like over 3,000 people.
It was like 3,300.
Yeah,
and we're gonna hit 15 this year.
And yeah, they ran into an issue with their dealer's room that
AC didn't fucking work.
Yeah, that was so. I had a subpar convention experience, but it actually was not any fault of the con. Like so, it's like Saturday and Sunday night, I went to bed at like 8:30, and I ate something that didn't agree with me or something. I don't know what it was. So I was pretty much taken out of it. And I even called in sick to work on the Wednesday after the con. However, from sales perspective, sales were excellent. We topped last year easily.
Oh,
mainly because we hit our last year's sales numbers on Saturday.
That's really cool.
So anything was on Sunday was gravy.
It was all growth. We had some excellent books come out that did really well. Summerhill sold insanely well. We sold out of the soft covers, and we've only got a few hardcovers left. So
cool.
That's pretty amazing. We sold out of some other titles, too. Savage Wright, the air conditioning broke in the dealer's room on Friday.
It was a billion degrees outside in the Artist Alley area, and it was a trillion plus in that room.
None of that.
Yeah. It was gross.
It had to be in the 80s.
That's like 30 times Confunk right there.
Oh, dude.
And Friday, when it was completely packed, wall-to-wall people, which it definitely was in our corner because we were next to Blotch and Sofa Wolf. So
you had tons of crowded people.
It's just a mass of humanity. It's 80, 90 degrees in there. Everyone is sweating buckets. Yeah. We had friends that were like, we're going to come by and see you earlier, but we were like, we saw how busy it was. We're like, whoa, we'll wait an hour. And just the heat hits you like a wall.
Yeah. Well,
which was some issue with the air conditioner in the hotel. Because actually, like, the AC in our room didn't even work that well. Like, we had it down as low as it would go, which was 60, and we were still sweating.
Mm-hmm. We just opened a window. We were at the Marriott, or the Hilton, the one...
The Hilton. The Hilton. You were at the Hilton. I was at the Marriott.
The Hitler.
The Marriott windows don't open.
The Hilton's does, though. Yeah. So if you need to throw your little dog out the window, you totally can. Those windows swing wide open.
Oh, okay.
So you could totally jump out if you want to. Whee! I wouldn't suggest it. Don't kill yourself, kids.
Suicidal kids.
Notcast does not endorse jumping out the windows at the fucking Hilton at FC.
Oh, God.
But it actually helped make the... Our room was actually nice and comfy, which probably was the nice juxtaposition to the hotel.
Yeah.
The panels I attended, they were pretty cool. I attended the For Planet reading, and it was pretty good.
Woohoo!
Summerhill sounded interesting. There was the Additive Species panel was put on by the guys that run Additive Species.
Oh, right, yeah.
They collate all the furry survey data since 2008 that they've been doing.
Right.
And really gives a really interesting cross-section of the community.
It's so funny because my name is totally an Additive Species.
Yeah. So I thought that was really cool.
Teal here as well.
Teal as well.
I poked my head in a couple other panels, but was fairly underwhelmed.
So, yeah, that Peroni panel. What the fuck was that?
I had 250 people that panel. Fuck you. On the tail end of a Sunday where people normally leave.
That is actually a really impressive number for a panel.
Fucker had a main stage.
At 5 p.m. on Sunday.
That's really...
A main stage panel.
That's impressive. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
It was fine. It went real well. They cut 30 minutes off of ours, but we were fine with that because we were all really tired at the end of the weekend.
I was wondering what happened with that because it was 90 minutes on the schedule.
They needed, I guess, their god-awful stage show needed a better...
I didn't see it, so...
I didn't see it. I'm only going off of the perspective of the people I saw. So all I know is that when we were getting on stage and getting started, there was a goddamn stripper pole on stage, and they didn't start letting in the people into the panel for like 5 minutes until...
So that's where my stripper pole went.
This has got to be the
FC Unleashed.
Which I've never had to mute a hashtag for a con before, and I had to because of the stream of complaints, apparently.
Yeah, I don't like too much negativity in my Twitter feed either. Like,
well, I don't either.
They should have had the stripper pole for the Brony panel, because then you could have got up there, rubbed your crotch tits on it.
They could have gotten Mike to do
what
it.
What word is this?
Horses have nipples around their hind legs, tits.
Crotch tits.
Some people draw the anthropodes with huge boobs, like, down between their legs.
No, they don't.
So what about those windows opening all the way, jump out?
Now there is a pony character called Milky Way, who is a pony with double D crotch boobs, and it's this really whacked out tumbler. And if you have a lactation fetish, you could check it out.
The milk mare of Trottingham.
But there's not enough vodka in my Gatorade.
Well, there's a bunch of vodka on the fridge, but it's... It is really out there, even for the bronies. But it's just like, you know, crotch boobs are a thing, and this is a character that was made as a joke.
So I've been in the fandom a long time for furry, and I've heard a lot of different phraseology. It is uncommon for me to have a word thrown out there that makes me stop in the middle of a
conversation. Is it any worse than shitting dick nipples?
No, it's not.
Hey, Teal.
And it made me kind of just go, what?
Teal, in 5 years, these people are either going to have gone on to other places or joined the furry fandom, just so you know.
I realize this, and I'm prepared for my new overlords.
So we're just warning FA now to prepare the crotch boobs hashtag.
Okay.
Oh, it's already there.
It probably is, which is the sad
thing. Yeah, it probably is. Yeah. I don't know. But anyways, God, you're growing terrible places. This is unprofessional.
I hate my foxes.
I'm gonna search FA for crotch boobs.
So,
anyways, no, the panel went really well, and everybody seemed to have got to get along. And you know, yeah, they cut us short, but Vinicus Kassoon, the guy who had invited us when we were up at Everfree Northwest, was super cordial and nice about it. We were kind of like, yeah, it's okay. I mean, you can only sort of talk about, compare and contrast the two communities so long, because there's only about an inch of difference.
Well, we like animals. Oh, we like animals, too!
We like porn! We like porn, too!
We like intelligent talking animals! We're totally different, because we also like intelligent talking animals!
We like cartoons! We like cartoons, too! Cartoons, too. We write stories about our characters. We donate money to charity. Seriously, yeah. Guys, it's really not that different.
So, just
point of focus.
I did a search for crotch boobs. 95 results.
Nice. Okay, so
that'll change in about
seconds. Did the image of Milky Way with the "Do you even lactate" show up?
No.
No.
However. We have a furry that is a herm with crotch boobs.
What the fuck is that?
So, check it out. See female furry, nice big tits, scroll down a little. Crotch boobs, cock and balls. What there we go.
I'm like, from the waist up, that picture's okay.
That's too many genitalia.
That face is, the face is really cute.
I resemble that remark.
And the cock has barbs. There's everything. I hope it. Oh man, if it was a herb and it had like a vagina too, that'd be great. Because that would be like every horrifying genital thing on one creature.
Why doesn't it just have a knife coming out of its dick? Because at this point, it might as well.
Well, then you have like.
Oh, here's a picture of a character with pierced crotch boobs.
What?
It's by EC Major.
Well, I'm gonna cry. I didn't mean to start this. Actually, Fuzz, it's you who started this.
You know, EC Major is a very technically proficient artist.
He draws accurate crotch boobs.
Yes, he draws things with a high degree of accuracy and freehand pencil, but sometimes his material is a little questionable.
So did the human centipede, but we don't talk about that all the time, too.
Talk about going ass to mouth, goddamn.
Never go ass to mouth. So...
Teal was trying to say something to derail this horrible crotch boob topic.
Kind of.
Crotch boobed once in the 80s.
Artists who deal with specific fetishes tend to be very, very good at drawing them.
Yeah.
They're very technically proficient. And hey, that's cool. I mean, if you're into it, you want something that's technically proficient.
It's like fucking gynecologists could learn a thing from James Hardiman's vagina drawings.
Oh God, yes.
It's serious.
So, in any event, my time in San Jose was nice. You know, I went to a bunch of different restaurants, had psycho donuts for breakfast one day.
Oh, yes.
I had a. This was one morning that I didn't sleep very well, and I was just feeling self-destructive. So I had one of their big ass donuts and an apricot fritter and one of their strawberry margarita smoothies for breakfast. Oh,
It's delicious.
And I was like, well, I posted it as the God Bless America.
Psycho Donuts could do very well here in Texas because they do donuts insanely big. Well,
there was a couple places that tried to do it here, but they didn't really. I don't think they're still around.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Cereal donuts, delicious. Oh, I love it.
These things are, so if you do go to San Jose and do go to FC, you must stop by Psycho Donuts.
It's two blocks away. Guys,
the gum bleeder is delicious.
I had one called the Dead Elvis.
What's in a gum?
The Dead Elvis is delicious.
Oh my god,
is that the peanut butter one?
It's peanut butter jelly bacon on a cream donut.
Yeah. What's a gum bleeder? Is that like Captain Crunch?
Captain Crunch.
Yeah,
it's a gum bleeder.
Oh my god,
it is. It's overindulgent sugar, and if you're diabetic, stay away.
And I had a Neapolitan as well. Which is it's a strawberry cake donut with vanilla and chocolate frosting on half.
Mm.
It's super bad, but super tasty.
You're diabetic, go in there with like an insulin IV in your arm.
No, it's cold. I go in and I stare at it and I have a bite of Cirrus.
I went to Iguana's twice.
As a point of note, there is no hospital anywhere near downtown San Jose.
But they are dressed as nurses.
They are.
Are they? Wait, the people at Psycho Donuts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what's cool is if you had they also had like little cat ears this weekend.
Oh, so, God, that's so hot. I want to fuck a cat nurse lady over the donut counter.
And then eat a donut while you're fucking her.
There's
going to
be a drawing of that later.
You hear that, internet? We're putting forth, Fuzz wants to be drawn fucking a nurse-dressed cat boy while eating a donut.
Oh, take my creamy filling.
That's right.
I think I went up to Psycho Donuts when I was in my nurse outfit last year, actually.
What was interesting is that
my street name is Bavarian.
In the hotel, or in the convention center, they had like a little kiosk set up of Psycho Donuts. Mm-hmm. Everything was like a dollar more, because you didn't have to walk two blocks to go get it.
Mm-hmm.
But they had all their donuts
there. I should have oozed my way over there and picked me up some.
Slurp.
But they had their welcome furries thing and all that stuff.
Yeah,
San Jose knows when the fur fags are in town.
Something I didn't look at, but I heard about and thought was cool, was that apparently a bunch of the local restaurants had discounts for furries if you showed your FC Con badge.
Yep.
Which, and they had like a list of them, but it was like one place that was walking distance, it had a little sign outside that had like some furries eating like a sub sandwich
or
something.
It looked like they had the Nietzsche draw it.
It was either the Nietzsche or TK Die. It was kind of like his style.
Yeah, it was very that style.
They started doing that the second year FC was downtown in San Jose, where some of the businesses started to do the Welcome to Furries. And it's apparently grown fairly big, where a lot of the local businesses have started to pick that up.
They love to bring money. They're welcome.
I'd love to get that for Fiesta.
This is the first year FC has had banners throughout downtown.
That was pretty cool. Was
I almost got one of those, actually. I didn't. I was too busy trying to finish up the books and stuff. But I almost plopped down the cash for that. I might do it next year.
Were they doing that for their charity?
No, it's part of the advertising budget that the con has some banners on the signs, but you can also sponsor one and have your own banner made, and you get to keep the banner after the con because they're expensive. And I just see getting a banner of Fez and Rory
with the Fur Planet logo. With some Idessa's art.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That would be adorable.
And yeah, I thought that was pretty cool that they had the banners up and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, FC was not a bad experience. It was pretty fun, but
it didn't stand out in your mind, I guess.
But that's okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was still an event that I, you know, had fun at.
We had a good time, though. I hung out with you a couple times over the weekend, so.
And basically, I didn't hang out with anybody that I knew from around here because I just hang out with my California friends.
Yeah, which makes sense.
There's some of our crowd that goes out there, but there's not a huge number of them.
Yeah.
Well, like, I wave to Rikoshi and I wave to Kyle, but then I'm like, I will see them in like a month. Mm-hmm. Except I don't think Rikoshi's coming to
Fiesta.
Okay. Because cool. I knew somebody, but either one going to come. But,
yep, they're both going to be here, which is nice.
So I'll just be like, hey, I bought this from you last month. Can you sign it this time?
So I didn't talk to Kyle very much this con. And because he was at his booth, which was two tables down, and he was signing, and he had his new release and stuff like that. What will happen at Fiesta is hopefully what happened last year, where he basically stands between my table and Blotch's, and we just pass books along the line for them all to sign. So
is
I figure,
this a wink, wink, nudge, nudge at the dealer coordinator?
Just do what you did last year. That was great. Totally. But, that worked out perfectly because we just passed it down the line. Kyle signed them, Blotch signed them for the ones that they did the artwork for. And I figure I'll have all weekend to chat to Kyle between cons. So I was let me just stay out of the way because it's their big release and everything like that. And there's no point in me taking up space to buy a book and have it autographed.
I really need to get to reading Isolation Play now that Divisions is out.
Yeah, I've told them both this. I feel kind of bad about it, but they understand. I have not read Seven Chakra or Isolation Play. And both authors understand why, because I'm too busy reading the stuff that we're publishing.
Yeah.
And it's hard to find the time. But
yay, California.
Yeah. Like I said, I had an okay time. I would have hung out with more people had I not been kind of down for the count 2 to 3 nights. Mm-hmm. But
dead forever.
I did get to see some people, some very briefly. I got to see a really good friend of mine, this guy I've known since he was 15 back in Florida. And he's like, he's all grown up now. He graduated high school.
He's a big boy now.
He graduated college. No, I'm like so proud of him because he got his degree. He lives out in San Jose. He works in graphic design now. And I have not seen this kid in like 8 years.
Damn.
And it was just like, oh my God, hello. You know, but it was like a highlight of the con for me. It meant a lot to me.
Awesome.
So that was really nice.
Random sudden experience, to say the least.
It really was. And I was like, just like, crap. Dude, you know? It was really cool.
So, I know. California.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Wow.
Now that's more Texan.
Oh, okay.
What is?
The I know right thing.
Yeah.
That's high for you.
We had a hella ballin' time.
So, to remind our listeners, I'm originally from California.
Twitter mentions ago. I'm looking at our emails. And I'm like,
I still love that story Biddy told about her flight to Atlanta and how she was like, okay, I'm going to try to blend in. I'm not going to use any California-isms at all. And then the first person says, hey, how was your flight? Oh, it was hella tight for days and shit, yo.
For days and shit.
And she's like, damn it. She told us that story at Rocky Mountain. It's hilarious.
Wow, we've got a shit ton of emails this week.
So we've got, like, after I deleted all the Twitter ones, we have 14 emails in the inbox.
Hi, Keo. Hi, other fox.
Hi.
Your foxes.
That's true.
Fox around.
Hey, Shiva, how was your week?
It was a week.
Okay, cool. So
good. So let's start the email. So
just moving along.
Moving right along here. We got 14 email to go through, and then we'll start passing around the iPads.
Yep.
This is our theme is on con reports, and I asked for FC con reports also.
I bet you did.
I did indeed. So we already mentioned this person. So speaking of which, Idis, let me go ahead and read her email.
The Idis.
FC report and conventions. Hey, Notcast crew. Further Confusion this year was great for me as an artist. For me and some of my artist friends, it was actually the most successful convention business-wise that we've done. It's great to see more artists doing better at conventions these days. FC is only growing, and it's been pretty neat watching it do so the past 6 years. I had a fun time at my dealer's table across from the For Planet table. We could see her so far away.
You could wave.
Yes.
Throw things.
See, God, I wish I'd gotten you guys together, because I didn't realize she wanted to meet you and she wanted to meet Flame, and like you guys were both standing at my table at the time, but it was like so packed.
Hey, maybe she'll make it to Fiesta.
Yeah.
Fiesta!
That'd be nice, actually. We should get her out here. She will be guest of honor at Rocky Mountain FurCon, by the way, so if anyone is going to that, that'd be cool.
Don't die.
Okay.
Seeing my art on the banner for such an awesome company was pretty humbling. Aw. I was also ecstatic to have my art on the bags and bookmarks. You guys did a bang-up job on that. I picked up a copy of Summerhill from For Planet's Table and have been itching to read it. By the way, I don't know if I mentioned to you guys, we had little bookmarks and little tote bags made up with Fez and Rory and the logo on it. So I've got a few left. I'll actually have to give you guys some once they arrive home from California.
In transit?
Yeah.
Yeah. They were mailed. Okay, so I will get back to this email in half a second. But funny story about this. So we're like, Tieran and I make our grand plan for how we're going to get out there. And we're going to ship all the stuff out there. We're going to ship it to Rikoshi's house because he has a garage that he's not using and plenty of space. Sweet. That's great. And then we're off on Monday. We'll ship it home Monday. And then we fly home at like 1 in the afternoon. Perfect. Pull up to the post office. Tira is thinking like, it's really nice and quiet. And I'm thinking, it's Martin Luther King Day.
Oh, no.
Why did we not think of this? Oh. We were so happy that we not have to take PTO today. Because it's a holiday.
Because it's a holiday.
Why did we not remember that the post office is closed on Martin Luther King Day? Ugh. And we're just like, oh. So we ended up, we went back to Ricky's house and we addressed all the boxes. We had some pre-printed labels and everything like that. And we left him like a few hundred bucks and said, please take these to the post office tomorrow. And he was very obliging. And I was like, dude, thank you so much for shipping our boxes back. He's like, hey, no problem. Thanks for publishing my book. So, that's Ricky, you know. It's kind of cool. So, yeah, they're in transit home from Ricky's house. But, yeah, major derp on our part. Anyway, to continue to email, now in progress. My only qualm this year with FC this year is that I was unable to attend most of the events I had been looking forward to, such as the Masquerade, FC Unleashed, and the Brony panel. Due to bad scheduling errors with my own time and the Dealer's Den hours, I was just never able to make it to these events, and it bummed me out a lot. I feel a lot of the time lately when I go to conventions, I spend all my time working and stressing out, and very little time actually enjoying the con and having some fun. Since this episode you guys are covering convention questions as well, I figured it would be interesting to hear what you guys do at conventions to balance out your duties and also having a good time. I know Fuzz is usually stuck in a Dealer's Den, and both Savard and Shiva have duties at Furry Fiesta. How do you schedule your work time with your fun time at cons? Or do you at all? Do you have any suggestions on how to better manage your schedule when you're trying to attend a convention as a seller, but also someone just wanting to relax and have some fun? Hope to see you guys at another con in the future, Idis. So, I can answer for me, which is the advantage that a publisher has, is that all of our work takes place before the convention. So, editing the books, laying them out, ordering or making them ourselves and stuff like that. But then once the dealer's room closes, we don't have any homework to take back to our rooms.
Yeah.
We go to dinner. We go and have drinks with friends, and then we just chill out for the night. But the problem for artists is they take sketch commissions all day, and very often they take enough that they're still working on them. I know at MFF one year, Heather Bruton told me she'd been working on sketches till like 4 in the morning. I can't remember who else it was. This con told me they were up to like 5:30 to wake up at 7:30. To get ready for the day and start again.
Yeah.
So that's maybe like Shiva could discuss that as an artist. Cause to me, it's like part of me is like I would pace myself and take less work so that you do cut yourself off from working at a point. But then I also know it's like artists sell prints and bookmarks and stuff like that. But most of the artist money is in at con sketches and badges, so
be like the blotch, get two of you.
There you go, just
split it in two,
just multiple man, just bloop, make another one.
We are the blotch,
we will make art now. We will unmake you.
We are the blotch, we will make it with our minds.
It just appears.
Yeah, see, if you had magic superpowers like the blotch, then it'd be no problem.
Where you can just hit your head on a piece of paper and art.
So, any other ideas as to how better to free yourself from the shackles of the dealer's table?
Well, on mine, it's people like Keo, who are volunteer coordinators. They get to say, I need to go and get food. And Keo sends one of his mini minions over, and I go get a burrito.
I need to go pee. Keo's like, here's a bottle, bitch.
I've gotten to that point with some people before.
I just,
here's a funnel, in case you got a pussy.
I just walk across the hallway to Ops and use the bathroom there.
Can't you just use the bathroom on some of the gamers? It's a small room. They smell. They're not going to notice.
Dude, no. It's my expensive electronic equipment in there.
You got to mark your territory. This Wii is mine. This Wii is going on that Wii.
And there's a lot of Wii here.
And then there's going to be the Wii U.
Yeah, that's when he just fucking spins his dick around. Wee you and it's going there. Oh god, it's on the walls.
What? Unacceptable.
None of this forever.
No. Just stop.
See, I don't know why I took my glasses off, because I can still hear you all.
So
I can't hear you when I put my glasses on.
Is even but, better.
Yeah. Well, see, even when I'm... Because normally when I'm doing it, I'm at a table, I'm with For Planet. So it's just, you know, after hours, we do stuff. So that's not implying anything, but we go to hang out with artists or other people. We go to room parties. We go to, like, artist receptions and
the You know
like.
What you could do is it would save you time if you never had to leave your table as an artist. So you could just wear a diaper.
Don't even get... Don't give people that idea.
I'm just thinking really hard about what I'm going to charge you for this sketch.
We'll just do meth.
Meth? Oh! I thought you said math for a second. I was like, just do meth.
Don't do drugs, kids.
Ideas for speeding up your sketch process. If you've seen on FA, you've seen the Your Character Here sketches.
Oh, those are so lazy. I hate those.
Well, no, I was thinking...
Fuck artists, drugs!
Why are they lazy? You're still got to be putting in 30 to 40 fucking hours on a drawing. That's not fucking lazy.
Basically, if it's everything but the person the penis is going into, I just...
No. So, see that? Here's a sore point, and fuck you. Your character here... is still the same amount of goddamn hours it goes into a regular piece of fucking art. Because, yes, you do the background drawing that everybody is going, ooh. But you still got to chalk in all the hours that you have to draw whatever horse or everything that's going to be going into them on either side. All you do ahead of time is roughing out the various poses that people might be roughly going into. Yeah, people say, oh, I want to be B and I want to be A. You're still going to be putting between, depending on how fast you are, 20 to 30 fucking hours into a drawing. That's not lazy.
Makes
that
you
is
feel
not
bad now,
fucking
Sever.
Lazy.
No, I feel
suck,
that my...
Sucker dick.
No, I feel that my opinion of... I do think, though, that it is a very smart way for artists to draw something that they want to draw.
You know the thing that is lazy, though, is the...
Adoptables?
Specifically the adoptables that are like, here's six versions of the same character with six different colors and everyone picks one.
Fuck those. Those should be banned.
Those are kind of... But your character here...
I'm kind of tired of the Your Character Here because...
It's just the trend.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is a full drawing that they're drawing. It is still work.
Now, when they sit and they have one base one and they draw like five different dog guys and different variants of where they're all just... Like copied off the same base picture. Yeah, I object to those.
I drew your face in.
Yeah, those I kind of object to. But when it's something where you've got basically they throw up two very generic sketches and then they completely develop it from there.
But then there's the ones that do like everything but ink it, and they just sort of leave the person getting fucked ambiguous. So everything else is practically done except for the person getting fucked.
No, if most cons, the person getting fucked should be ambiguous.
What? Yeah.
Well, are you
danger! The opinions expressed by Saverin do not necessarily... So
are you talking about the one where they've got like a... Everything is fully detailed except for the person that they've...
Yeah.
Why? Well, I can see if they start that and they do like five different... they have the same background, then they drive five different revisions of the photo where it's each person is fucking that.
It takes away the customization of the picture, but I do agree with you that that it still should, you know, cost a amount of money, because essentially at that point you're just paying your character in a scene.
I mean, I never made a cost argument. I just feel that it's just sort of, all right, I feel like I'm going to draw this, but then to finish it, I'm going to get some schmuck to give me $200 to... To insert their character on the penis of the horse. Where I think
Savard's lazy opinion comes from is that if you have slot one and slot two, instead of taking two separate commissions for two separate people, you're going to do this one drawing and put random people that win the auction in there. And that's not doing two drawings for two different customers. You're doing one customer where my character ends up fucking some random other person that had the same amount of money to spend as I do.
And that's one reason why I have that problem. It's like,
oh man, I just got drawn getting fucked by my worst enemy.
Yeah, well, see, shit. If it was like they were doing like one of their characters, whereas one of their stock characters, like, I don't know, Puzzle or something like that from Gaddaf.
Yeah.
They draw their character and there's a blank and you can auction.
There's a lower torso being crushed by Puzzle's enormous thighs.
So you've got.
You can't see their face, but lower torso, that'll be totally you.
The one where it's your character here and you want to spot some other random person and you've got no choice but who your character is going to be interacting with. I won't bid on those, but I won't argue that, hey, you know, it's a valid piece of art.
It's just not something I would be interested in purchasing unless I was going halfsies with a friend or my mate.
I think that's the bottom line here is you vote with your money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. And I do, so.
But what I was getting to is for Idis and other artists is, maybe don't do, like, your character here where you pick random to, you know, but you come up with, like, several stock poses, as in you just draw the body form. You know, they're crouching, they're kneeling, they're looking seductive, whatever, but it's just the sketch form. And you've got a couple stock ones that you've already done up, you've line drawn them out, you know, about how they're going to go. You just have to, you know, make them a little taller, make them a little smaller, thicker, thinner, make them into a cat, make them into a horse.
Take lots of badge commissions.
And then that way you've got something where you can have people look through your stock of box art and say, yeah, I'd like to be this one, and I want to meet my character, and this is what he looks like. And, well, one, you've already got the pose worked out, and then you just need to draw the character, draw the details on it. At least then way you've gotten half the work of getting the anatomy and the proportions and the pose in place, and somebody's looked through your stock of poses and they like that one. Okay. And I'm not saying like bring like carbon copies. I mean, sit down before the con and do a pencil sketches of each of these. So it's not like you're taking a bunch of Xerox copies, but they're unique poses where you've come up with a library of them. And then, okay, you're going to finish this drawing as this character. And you've at least got the very basic sketch worked out. You know, so there's that. So you don't have to have... I mean, sure, if they want to do a stock drawing and they don't like any of yours, yeah, just do a traditional commission. But at least this way, if people don't know exactly what the hell they want, because that's a frequent problem. They come up to the table, they know their character, they don't know what they want it to do. Mm-hmm. So there's the discussion of, well, what do you want to do? Do you want them, like, crouching? Do you want them looking mean?
How many penises would you like inside you?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
How many holes?
Can we go for a dozen?
So you've, Baker's like, dozen. You've got someone...
this isn't a French bakery.
And so you've got this guy who comes up, and he wants his character. He doesn't know what he wants. But here's a bunch of stock poses that you worked out. And, oh, he likes his dude standing up looking triumphant and, I don't know, something.
Having his human ass with a knife.
And he just picks this out and then you can jot down, put the details on it, attach the ref sheet, and away you go. So that's an idea.
Yeah.
It's not quite the your character here as you're seeing on FA, but I'm just talking like where you've already worked out pre-poses and some of the anatomy issues.
And I don't know how well this works because it depends on the artist, but you could also jack up your prices and take less sketches.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of artists that have, like, they keep filling up. They take on too much work, and they're working all night. And it's like, if they just pump their sketches up, they can make the same amount of money in less time. Or maybe just limit yourself where you're not relying on the convention to make money. So, like, halfway through Saturday, you just fucking stop taking sketches at all. Finish it by the end of Saturday, and then you go have fun.
Or you do stuff like Anime Cat, where she takes slots before the commission, does a lot of her work before the commission, and then so she's actually, and then she just delivers it at the convention.
Yeah, I think Idis does that too with badges. Yeah. It's pre-gaming the con.
Yeah, but that's basically it.
Then honestly, just know your intake of commissions, know what your limits are,
and cut it off.
Yeah, you need to cut off. You can't be like, well, I'm going to work on all this art until, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning. Like, you have to have a convention, or, I mean, you're there just to sell at that point. And, well, yeah.
To be honest, I am not the person to ask how do you budget your time at a con, because I have a hard time going to a con and not working. No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That happened to MFM last year. I'm accidentally staffed now.
Well, I went to, the first time I went to OkoCon, we were guest of honor, and I ended up helping out here and there. I've helped out here and there every OkoCon since. I've done volunteering at A-Con. I usually get bored if I'm not working it, so I'll go and I'll help out and I'll do something for a little bit, or I'll get drafted onto staff. And, but I don't know. It's getting so I've got more social contacts in the furry fandom, but because I was out of the country for several years, and then most of my furry friends are local, I see them all the goddamn time.
Well, fine, I'll just leave.
So you need something to do at cons.
I need something to do, and yeah, I'll have a little bit of social time, but I didn't have a lot of out of Dallas furry contacts for many years until, you know, I've gotten to know some of your publisher friends, and, you know, mm-hmm. I've gotten to bridge out, but I didn't really have a need to socialize at con, because I'll just go out to, like, dinner with everybody else another night. So I'll go to some panels, but most of the panels I want to go to are, well, the den is open, so no.
Yeah.
And then we have Notcast Saturday night. And then I have my panel on Sunday. So that only really leaves Friday evening, part of Saturday, because come Sunday, we're tearing everything apart again.
You have time during the convention? I envy you.
Last year, let's see, I ended up having to go out and I ran errands. I, like, went to, when I was not in the den, because I could buy things, I ended up going to Walmart, I ran errands, I went out and I had to go buy things, like, most of the evening. I ran out to, like Walmart a couple times, and, yeah, so I don't remember what, the only free time I had last con was the night we went out for your birthday.
Birthcake.
That's partially, you know, Tiron pointed that out, that's partially why we've ended up having a birthday party in renting a suite to do that every year, is that it seems to become sort of a refuge point for the staff.
Mm-hmm.
That, because most of the staff are all friends of ours anyway. Like, they can't get away anywhere, but then they go to this one room and it's like, oh, we're doing something at the con that's not working for a little while.
We have an excuse.
Yeah, and it's become kind of a staff refuge. That's kind of what Tiron wants it to be, so. So, yeah, we're running a suite for 2 days of Furry Fiesta. I think it's the Saturday night, the Sunday night. We'll probably do a book launch event or some kind of For Planet event one day. And then we'll have my birthday party Sunday night.
I might wave at it and walk by.
Well, dude, you need to get Monday off so that you can, like, party.
Party hard.
Oh, I'm going to. Yeah, I have Monday off.
Okay, yeah, because I got Monday off, too, because I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be up hanging out and, you know, just hang, even yeah, not even drinking and being crazy. I mean, first Furry Fiesta, usually, it was like 2 a.m. and I was like, I ain't fucking going to work tomorrow.
Usually Sunday night, I'm busy helping load everything, and then it's too fucking tired and I go home and I go to bed.
Right.
I send volunteers to do my bidding, and then I disappear into the mist.
Now you can disappear to my room and have a drink.
I'm glad you finished that sentence.
Well, me too.
I just said that my room was going to have a party with like 30 people in it. Not that kind of party.
Disappear in my room.
We're bad. We're not that bad.
God. I do my boning in private.
So, yeah, I'm not a good person to how to not work a con.
So, Sabrin, do you want to read the next email?
I should read an email.
Okay.
All right. Moving on.
Okay.
All right. Gear from a new person I've never seen before. Greetings, naughty people. Hey, casters. I just wanted to send you guys an email and let you know that I really enjoy going through your old episodes and look forward to hearing more soon. Also wanted to say your advice has been rather sound on many of the emails you've received. Being poly and pansexual, it's great to hear advice and commentary in such a fun, casual manner, which is refreshing as opposed to such subjects being thought of and being handled as edgy and controversial. It's an indication that social norms are in flux and that we are hopefully evolving as a society. Thanks for being a positive part of the move forward. I wish I could find great people like you in my area, especially in the combination of poly and furry. I love hearing Shiva's insight on being actively both, not to mention perspectives of the rest of you. Thanks. Keep making a great listening experience. Gearlock.
Yay.
Cool. Thanks for writing in.
It's good to hear. I actually know him from way back in the day when I lived in Florida.
Cool.
I was going
to
say,
that
name sounds familiar.
You rock.
Woohoo! Yeah, he's a good artist, too.
That's MFA. Probably what I'm thinking of.
UL shape.
You get to
I haven't
read
seen
next.
Him at a con in what? Years. I think
you,
I
yes,
saw
you get
that
to read.
Or a
I read it up yesterday.
But that was a nice email. Thank you.
Religion and stuff. Hello, Notcast. I've listened to one episode of you so far, and I like it. That's good.
That's nice.
Even though I'm not a furry myself and just a brony.
Yeah, that's okay. That's pretty much the same
close
thing.
Close it up.
Conversion.
You're gonna piss off so many people with that. That's basically the same thing.
You some like anthropomorphic get, animals. It's just some are cartoon horses and some are cartoon
foxes. I know,
foxes.
But some bronies get really uptight about that.
But well, good for fucking just... them, aren't they special snowflakes?
Amen. Male.
Furries. Dog dicks. Bronies. Clippy cloppies.
Clop, clop, clop.
Expect me to continue listening to you guys. Anyhow, I'm 20 years old, straight Swedish male. Wow, okay.
You're a unicorn.
Unicorn!
ASL.
Well, he is a brony.
Unicorn!
Lives with my parents. No stable job yet. Oh. And I'm basically a virgin. How are you basically a virgin? You either are or you aren't.
He explains that if you keep reading.
I haven't gone into penetration nation. Penetration nation. It's cute. That's what about everything else? And now you know me.
It's sort of like conjunction function, except
yeah, no,
not.
It's like Schoolhouse Rocks. It's sexual.
Schoolhouse Cox.
Oh.
Well, while I'm really writing, why I'm really writing is because I've had some mostly internal struggles with my born into and semi-active in religion, Jehovah's Witness. Both my parents and my sister are baptized Jehovah's Witnesses, JWs.
Word!
JW, yo! And I've been raised as one all my life. I would gladly go into it fully, into that and get baptized and worship Jehovah all the time and that, but I just don't feel any love for it or him. I also see a lot of hypocrisy within the religion, as in how they preach to people, how they live, when they don't follow it all themselves. Yes. Not drinking yourselves drunk is an example.
Mm.
Well, I see that as hypocritical, but when I when I point out these, Dad just gets really defensive about it and just tells me I'm questioning everything just for the sake of being a bother. It's important to question stuff that you're supposed to live by. Yes. If that can't be defended, it's bullshit.
Yes.
I agree. I masturbate a lot.
I masturbate a lot.
A lot.
I'm just going to add another hyphen in there.
Which is A-okay for a Jehovah's Witness.
Not okay for a
Jehovah's My brain said that couldn't possibly
you,
be there.
You put your own beliefs into the email.
Well, you should. I masturbate a lot, which is not okay. That changes the context completely.
Oh, man. I would have been like, wow, that's actually kind of cool. They're fine with... Oh, wait, they're not fine. I was
like, I read it in my mind and was like, I thought they couldn't do that as Jehovah's Witness. Oh, because he didn't say that. And I couldn't get a girlfriend who's not a Jehovah's Witness and with whom I engage sex with. Right.
Engage sex?
For some reason, my brain said the next words were Klingon Hall. And still visit Kingdom Hall.
It's like Kingdom Hearts.
No, it's not at all.
Okay. Now Kingdom Hall, the church.
That would be incredibly frightening to have a bunch of Klingons coming into the door. Knock, 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 knock. Do you want to reach the watchtower? Okay.
I think you should finish this poor fellow's email.
The church is getting really boring for me. More and more as it goes on, but whenever I miss a meeting, be it due to sickness or just tiredness, I feel guilty. Mom and Dad also love to play the guilt card, making me feel like shit when I'm not doing spiritual things. I hate when parents do that.
See, to me, masturbating is a spiritual thing.
Damn right. Get my spirits all over my... Anyway.
Oh, man, my spirits hit the wall.
Hallelujah, honey, hallelujah. I guess the religion isn't for me, simply. And I don't think any other one will be in my taste. But I've also denied evolution and raised creationism on a pedestal all my life. So, would I have to change my entire worldview just to be able to do what I want? No. I also don't know what I want, really. I want love and sex as well. I'm depressed a lot for not having anyone to love and be mine. Someone to share your intimate moments with and so on. I'm also sexually frustrated. Clearly masturbator. And I tend to come on to women online annoyingly much and doing a lot of stuff that I feel like shit about after I come. Aw, after come guilt. So my choices are to either just go with the peer pressure and do something I don't feel is right for me. It might just be the truth and it's not what I need, I guess. Or to stop the Jehovah's Witness thing completely. I guess I could get on that when I get my own pace. I don't even want to imagine the passive aggressiveness and irritation from my parents if I'd live here and not join them in prayer at the dinner table and of the like. I've always done that thousands of times. how could I even break that? Should I start eating blood for the first time in my life? What? I'm
sudden 90-degree curve in the email here.
Wait, we're...
Eating blood?
It's a particular prohibition. It's one of the weird dietary things that the J-Dubs brought over from the Jews, and that extends also to, like, blood transfusions.
Yeah, I know about the blood transfusions. I didn't know.
You don't eat blood, you drink it. Silly pony.
I'm just saying that...
Okay. Actually, I am curious about this. So, I'm assuming that pork is out, just like the Jewish thing.
I don't know about that.
Animal, but can you not eat any meat at all? Or
No. It's Muslims also have the same prohibition about basically eating blood. That's one of the tenets for keeping basically one of their dietary.
So blood puddings are right out.
Yeah. Damn so it. Unless he goes out and eats blood pudding, I don't know what the fuck he's going to do.
And no. You cannot have Klingon blood wine.
I'm just seeing zombies.
It goes back to the Klingons.
Yes. I wonder if that extends to having a how to get well done steaks.
So Jehovah's Witnesses can't be zombies. Got it.
Mm. Right.
Should I start eating blood for the first time in my life?
Should I
celebrate Christmas?
Yes.
Just because it's what normal people do, even though I hate the holiday. I would also lose most of my friends. Those who really seemingly care about me anyhow. Yeah, I read that right.
Yep.
It's fairly expected that you can't maintain a friendship with someone who stops being a Jehovah's Witness, and I can't call that real friendship after all. When I asked one of my closest friends about that and said how it's not a real friendship if it's just via the religion, he asked me how far I should go for him to still be friends with me. After I assault someone? Assault what? After I rob a bank? What if I killed someone? Would he still be friends with me then? Well, those were his points. If I totally left the religion, would I be a bad influence? And we can't have that. Okay. Thing is that I'd most likely live a lot like I do now. Though a girlfriend would be nice, so how would I be a worse friend for that? Sorry for massive rant. I just type what pops up into my head a lot. Of stuff and getting a lot of stuff off my chest and apparently some more organs.
Stuff off his organs.
What?
Just going with it.
My parents are cool with the pony thing. That I have 50 so ponies on my shelf with some posters here and there, and they've told me that they'll love me no matter what I choose to do with myself. Though I don't think...
You're worshipping Twilight Sparkle as a false idol.
Though I don't...
But she powers up at the end of season 3. She becomes a goddess.
No. Though I don't think it would go over too well if I were to become gay.
Quotation fingers.
And come out with it to them. But they're not conservative for being witnesses. Okay. I'll get on them on that at least. Now that sounds sweet, but part of me knows that that's just a tactic from them to make me feel bad for not doing as they want, or maybe I'm just paranoid. So to wrap it up, and to some word...
TLDR, too long didn't read. So, after you've read the entire long thing, T wraps it up.
So wrap it up. I'm not sure about my religion, and I'm sad, lonely, and too horny for my own good. How should I fix this? Maybe wait until I have my own place? Jehovah's Witness has been a great part of me and my all for all of my life. I feel sick just thinking about throwing it all away, sick and scared. I'm afraid that I'll lose my friends if I stop, and I don't know if I could deal with that very well. I'm not sure how much of this will be understandable, but please try to give me some advice. I'm currently in a religious limbo, and I feel crappy for that. I'm really looking forward to your tips, if any, and thank you, Philip.
So, kind of like a crisis of faith.
So, not only is it a crisis of faith, he's in a J-Dub religious trap.
Oh my God, Jehovah's Witness.
So,
this sounds almost like Mormon-like
It's almost like any of the insular religions where that's your friends, that's your family.
You're either an in-group or you're a permanent out-group. Mm-hmm. It's expected that all members of the Kingdom Hall and Jehovah's Witnesses will cut ties with you and won't even acknowledge your existence if they know you're an ex-J-Dub.
Mm-hmm.
And that would basically... And if I'm correct, this individual... His entire life is wrapped around the church. Okay. All of his friends, all of his social connections, all this. And the fact that he's, you know, can consider, you know, creationism as any regard means he probably hasn't even gone to, like, a university. and learned him some books.
Yeah, because the Jehovah's Witness has a prohibition against higher education.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, we had a couple of gals drop out of high school as soon as they were legally able to help.
Keep yourself dumb. Keep yourself ignorant.
Yeah.
So they could stay barefoot and pregnant, I guess?
And basically at the very bare minimum. And they quit. I think they got their GEDs, but that's all they did.
And, I mean, and the whole thing about, you know, assaulting, robbing a bank, murdering someone, it's a very common apologetics tactic to shame you back into even asking the question. As somebody who is non-religious and who grew up in a somewhat similar but not quite a severe situation, if you are uncomfortable and this is such a huge shame-filled thing in your life, it's not me making that noise.
Not I.
You know, the correct answer for pretty much anybody is to step back and, you know, evaluate your shit. Unfortunately, if you're living at home, you're not going to university, you know, you're kind of beholden to your parents' rules, and suddenly dropping the J-dub would probably put you in a situation that would make your home life very difficult.
I'd at least wait until you're out on your own.
You know,
I don't know how you would continue.
Unfortunately, there is a very stark divide. You are unfortunately on the J-dub side of it for the time being. And if you want to go forth and, you know, interact with the rest of society.
The thing is you got a crisis between church that is your social world and church that is your beliefs. And you can have beliefs without necessarily being part of the social circle of the church as a society. I mean, you may disagree with some of them, but I don't know enough about Jehovah's Witnesses.
I think he's really just having a problem with, I mean, obviously the fact that his entire life is wrapped up in the Jehovah's Witness system, but he's also having contradictory beliefs to the Jehovah's Witness system, like, you know, masturbating.
Well, I mean, it's basic human behavior, you know, that you do, and they try to instill this crazy amount of shame into you. And this is most Western religions are shame based, in case you didn't tell. That, you know, it keeps you in line. You know, that vaping is bad and sex is bad and icky and gross and only, you know,
or making more children.
You know, it is choosing to make the decisions for yourself that is scary. It is saying, these people have told me one thing my entire life, and then you get out in the real world, and it doesn't comport to what they've told you. That the real world is a lot different than the inside of a kingdom hall. You know, I obviously the rebellious, hellbound atheist side of myself says, well, the correct answer is to table flip and fly the middle finger as you walk out the door. But the realistic and, you know, not having you freeze to death on the streets of Sweden side means that you're at least going to have to play ball until you can get your own, you know. Doesn't Sweden, like, subsidize higher education?
I think so.
Go to college.
A lot of those sane countries do.
Yeah.
Sane country.
Yeah, you really gotta, I mean, you need to get out of there, for one. Like, that's number one. Just get out of there.
Find a job.
Yeah.
Go to school.
Making your life
better.
Get some
government benefits.
And then
some healthcare.
Toot your own fucking horn, honey. Like, you need to start adapting yourself in your own belief system. You can't go off of everything your parents say and everything your little box of a social society tells you to do. You have to make your own person.
There's a beautiful George Carlin quote was, you know, I was Roman Catholic until I reached the age of reason. You are in a place where you are dependent on your parents. To get you out of that, you need to not be dependent on your parents. And then go learn. Go explore the world.
And then...
Make your own decisions. Make your own spirituality.
And it could be that you decide to return.
It is. There's a very distinct possibility you could.
Yeah, but you have to have that experience to know what else is out there.
You know, I mean, how are you going to know this is the truth if you don't have anything to compare it against?
You are not making the incorrect choice by masturbating and wanting a girlfriend.
No, that's true. Absolutely not. Mm.
Keep masturbating.
Keep masturbating.
Masturbate more. Just for me, honey. Just masturbate
as
more.
As much as possible.
Aim for the wall.
You know, and maybe next time you can order your steak, you know, what's past medium but not quite well done.
Medium well.
Medium well.
Medium well.
Maybe next your girlfriend can, you know, help you with masturbating.
With her mouth.
With her mouth, pussy.
Wow.
So...
You may not be able to eat meat, but she certainly should.
More red meat.
And hey, it's not spilling it on the ground if she swallows.
I'm going to find her email because, you know.
Yeah,
that's right. So, it won't go to waste if she's fertilizing your tonsils. Oh, yeah.
So I hope that that's...
I agree with what all my co-hosts say. So yeah. Just putting that out there.
Next email.
Y'all got that shit covered.
Be your own person, yo.
Title is Oh My Gay.
Oh my gay.
From Bitches and Fuzzes Laps to the vengeful hangover the next morning, what a con. As the story goes, I only wish I had more time to do all the things that I wanted to do. Actually, it's not Rikoshi. After arriving Thursday afternoon via the delightfully uneventful, boring Caltrain ride, I was ready to party, and party I did. I would regale you with a number of the tales that I experienced if it weren't for the alcohol-induced fog that is placed upon my memories of the entire weekend.
Roland.
Yes.
Yes, this actually. Is Roland.
Hi, Rolly.
I have fragments of memories from here and there of Soren pouring me dirty martinis and Bloody Marys.
Sounds right.
Of a greasy American pub food and of sweet rave parties in front of the Marriott Hotel restaurant. A good time for many, except for that guy that bailed into the back of a cab and ended up in a sling. What?
That happened last year, too.
And that first dude that got alcohol poisoning and had to be carted away in an ambulance after they cut his suit off.
Wow.
Yeah, don't get drunk in suit, kids.
Dumb motherfucker. That's the price you pay.
In my humble better than you, I'm a famous podcaster opinion.
I'm a famous podcaster.
Anything that happens as a result of being that inebriated is purely your own fault.
Damn right.
May he have learned his lesson this con. Sadly, my cohort in crime, Tal, was struck down by the odd... almighty goddess of sobriety with a case of food poisoning early in the con, thanks to a bad Heinekeg.
Heineke.
So.
It's just a, basically it's a pony keg that they sell of Heineken.
And I guess it was bad?
Yeah, he actually got food poisoning off the Heineken.
Oh.
I don't even know how you would do that.
Serves him right for drinking Heineken.
Amen to that.
Hallelujah.
Lucky he made a speedy recovery and was able to party with the rest of us. Not forgotten are many new friends that I have made this con, the many new friends I have met at this con, quote.
I missed you, Rolly.
I missed you too.
The amount of sexy, shirtless Adonises, and my contribution to the overwhelming amount of Bitches in Fuzz's Lap. Let me know that I am not as skanky as some of the other people we may or may not know.
Nice.
We had a democratic vote on whether he was... skankier than X person who will not be named.
Skankier than X, and skankier than Y.
He won. He was not as skanky.
I can think of a few people. That's an interesting thing.
I'm happy we'll to have later. These memories to replace the oddness that was FC 2011, a.k.a. Breakup/Elevator Con, and have more fond memories of the people I only see once or twice a year. It's also a pity that although he was around, I've yet to meet Saverin. Maybe he'll make it out to TFF next year. Stay classy, not gas. Ha ha, fat chance. Roland.
Bitch, talk about classy.
Well, what's funny is I actually did meet Tal, but I didn't meet Roland.
Oh, that's too bad.
I miss my Tal. I haven't had a Tal in a year.
He was at AC. Were you at AC?
Jones?
You were at AC last year, right? No?
I admittedly I saw him for like a little bit as I was like taking off for something else, but
yeah,
he was talking to Tyrion actually.
I wish you'd gotten to meet both of them. And Tal helped us out with, like, unloading and moving boxes around on Thursday.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Tal is my sister from Canada.
You know,
yes.
One thing that I didn't mention and during talking about FC is the fact that I recorded, like, 7 hours of audio that weekend as well.
You podcast fag.
Oh, I know. I just don't stop talking.
I think we're probably at an hour mark.
Yeah, I should stop and save.
Yes.
Okay.
Before we lose it.
Actually, Panther can do that because he's over there by my computer.
Excellent. And we're back with Giggle Fox.
Yes, there are giggly foxes. Oh my god. Whoa, I totally don't want to email that to anybody. Holy shit.
Giggle dicks.
Giant purple dick.
Yeah, so.
Well, we do have Kyo.
Dear Mom. Oh, you just said. No.
It's like, hey.
No, ma'am.
I accidentally hit the email product button, and it was like, who would you like to email this to? And I hit E, and it brought up Equestria Daily. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. And I'm like, no.
Well, it is purple.
Email everyone.
Like Twilight Sparkle.
Yes, this reminded me of Twilight's horn.
This reminded me of Rule 63. So if you ever want to get fucked by a purple humanoid.
Wait, what?
Whoa, come on, guys.
He's going to the Bat Twitter.
Kyo is just flailing. Oh my god. So anyways, this week item from adamandeve.com.
He can't even tweet. He's flailing so much the accelerometer on his phone is turning upside down.
Oh my. So
Kyo, that's a very flattering photo of you, Teal. I have
Kyo
to say.
Is showing a photo of one of the people here with a purple unicorn horn.
I hate you so much.
So
blackmail.
This is totally a pink song.
So that's on Twitter, right?
Do not tweet that.
Anyway.
So, dildo unicorns. This is the Purple Pearl dildo. It is 102 reviews, 4 stars, $24.95 on adamneve.com. But if you use our coupon code NOT, that's KNOT, you can get half off and free shipping inside the continental U.S.
Half off those dongs, yo.
Yay.
You should use it that first purple. Color ID photo.
It is 7 inches long. It is 1.5 inches wide and has a textured shaft.
Textured staff's like Gandalf shit.
You shall not pass this.
So,
that's if it gets been plastic.
Now that I have derailed the show again. Hey, Teal, would you like to read an email?
If I can get through this email. All right, so.
Is it about dicks?
No.
Unicorn dicks.
I am stunned. it's actually a con question with multiple exclamation points.
Yay.
Dear casters of knots, I heard about your topic this week and just had to ask. What do you mean by tracks at a con?
Like fucking heroin tracks on your arm.
No, let him read the email, Fuzz.
Okay.
I've heard of panels and events, but this track is new to me. I've been to many cons, Star Trek, sci-fi, anime, and furry, and it still hasn't been until recently that I've been hearing this term. I hope you can enlighten me on the term, and for a tip for any new con-goers this year, bring your own supplies. Hotels and some motels will offer soaps, and there goes the power to the iPad.
Hit the button.
I got it.
Okay.
We'll offer soaps, shampoos, towels, and pillows for free, but once you have 5 people in a room, those supplies run out quickly. Having your own will at least give you the security that you have what you need and will not run the risk of running to the local mini-mart or gas station to find out they don't carry those items or are sold out. Hope you're all well and that everything is going well for you guys in Texas. Sincerely, Luke Silvertail.
To be fair, if you go to TFF and you run out of soap, you're doing it wrong. We give you some, just so you won't run out.
we do give you some at TFF, and we're kind like that.
Yeah.
But it is good advice. Bring your own supplies, bring your own toiletries.
Even when I am going to a con and I'm only sharing the room with two other people, I bring my own shit.
Yeah.
You know, it may be, you know, the whatever is in the travel size at the Walmart, but I bring my own.
I usually bring my own towels and pillows, too.
There are a couple reasons for bringing your own stuff. You may have an allergy. You don't know what kind of things that they have in the hotel soaps. Mm-hmm. If you have your own brand that you use and you know as
a brand,
there you go.
Oh.
As for a track, the track is just the overarching grouping of panels along a certain
yeah. So thing. The writing track will have all the writing related panels under it, and
yeah.
Fursuiting track has Fursuiting 101 and the MacGyver Fursuit Challenge and how to perform in a fursuit, oral in a fursuit, how to drink shots in a fursuit.
Very important skills to learn.
Apparently.
One thing that I did like is the FC's, their pocket con book mm-hmm. was fucking ace. It was amazing. And had it all organized by tracks. It's like there was like the main stage tracks, and there was the species tracks, and the science tracks, and the like health and social,
and the time tracks.
Boom, boom, boom.
That was a show in the '90s.
It was,
and that let us not think of it again. So basically, it's just it refers to the grouping of the panels. So like, if you're hardcore into the writing, and there's a good writing track, there's going to be a lot of panels that fall under your interests.
Like there is at Rainforest. Their writing track is always boss. Especially this year, because I hear it got an awesome guest of honor.
Yeah. Some dick wolves. Those publishers.
Dick wolves. That should have been the name of our publishing company. Yep. Dick wolves.
It really should.
I love hearing about the TV producer, Dick Wolf, because people will discuss him in articles. It'll be like, Law and Order is a Dick Wolf production, and I'm 12, so I'm like, Dick Wolf.
Yeah. So, there's that. That's the answer to your question. Fuzz, read an email.
Well, before we do, who read the Kotaku write-up for FC?
I skimmed most of it, but I did see it.
It wasn't too bad. I mean, for an outsider who's not familiar with the fandom, it was actually... You know, not too bad at
Pretty
all.
Pretty fair.
It was not rage-inducing.
Yeah.
That was a drop.
I mean, normally I'm all like,
that was gawker. A tangent, as she mentioned Dick Wolves in there, so I tangented it.
Literal Dick Wolves.
But is Kotaku related to Gawker?
It's part of the Gawker network. The whole network's fucking trash, but the article was decently written.
Mm-hmm.
As sort of a...
If it was rambly as hell.
Yeah,
it was trash, but we liked your article.
Yeah. It was really rambly.
They write really shitty clickbait articles.
It was like a really terrible con report.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Basically, the Kotaku article boiled down to, so I went to a furry con, and then I drank, and then I hung out with people.
And they're not really that different from nerds.
And they're kind of cool.
And then we drank more.
They're almost like real people.
I'm just like, damn, that was like my con experience at every convention.
Yeah.
Well, so we don't pretend we're real people.
So we pretend we're animal people.
Duh.
While we're pausing between emails here, because I've noticed that our podcast tends to do this a lot, where we have a topic and we get all this feedback from listeners, but then none of us actually address the topic. Which is really useful when the topic is like your most embarrassing sexual moment ever. Then,
oh, that was clearly the time when I tried to do a helicopter on Panther's backside, but then instead, you know,
let this be a lesson to you: don't do that when you have ceiling fans. You are not a magical kitsune with tails.
Oh God! I'm Batman.
Yes. That, just remember, in the bedroom, you aren't Batman.
That's the only place I'm Batman, motherfucker.
You so are I just the saw night.
You crawling through
Which
a window.
Batman? Are you the Michael Keaton?
I should be the Adam West, you know.
With the nipples.
Come to me, my faithful ward.
Hold still, boy wonder.
And Tyrion just slaps
Slide
you.
Slide down the pole.
Well, I think my bat signal needs some attention.
So, while we're on this break, let's the panel address the topic here. What are your convention do's and don'ts?
Don't go to them.
There.
Oh.
So my that convention is... tip is don't listen to Keo.
Yeah.
His do is please volunteer for me. I need minions.
So, minions. Tips, minions. Tricks, suggestions.
Bring lotion. Bring your own soap. Don't use someone else's soap. You'll get their con crud. Don't share toothpaste and stuff like that. Oh my god. Bring your own toiletries. Don't turn on the vent of the air conditioner. Because if you turn on the vent, you're getting all of that local shit and all of the mold and everything that has grown inside this little air thing. And you're breathing it in and you're going to get sick.
I don't have that happen to me.
I've had that happen multiple times.
And with what?
All of the allergens and mold and shit that'll fly out and everything that's went into the air vents. If you put it on vent mode, like, it will blow all that shit in your room.
Okay.
Because they don't clean the outside part.
That shit's nasty.
shit. There was something else. Wash your hands. Often wash your hands.
Yeah. Dealers have, if I remember, anti-back gel, because we're doing a lot of cash handling. Another one that I saw, there was a on Twitter or something, was bring a power strip.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is something we've actually started doing. And I think Savern's mate did this at a con that we were sharing at, and he had this, because we all have smartphones and iPods and iPads and laptops. And,
I know Teal started doing that.
You know,
I do that.
We just bring our heavy-duty Belkin flat one.
Yeah. Newer hotels and hotels that have had an upgrade since they were built have more outlets now because they know people bring a lot of tech shit. But you never know what situation you're walking into. Because I've been in ones where they've had a whole strip built in there, but you never really know.
Or sometimes it's just like, well, like, at the Hilton where we were at for FC, they had it really, they kind of had it night, kind of had it didn't, where there was nothing on any of the walls except for the little thing next to the TV, but
desk.
The thing next to the TV had also like inputs for the television,
yeah,
as well as like a four or five, well, I think it was like four plugs that you could plug your shit into. So yeah, it's
when
like
we stayed at the Hilton a couple of years ago when we shared a room with you.
That's right.
That was, that was like, wow, we can see stuff on screen really easy.
Also, if like me, you use a CPAP machine, you should get into the habit of bringing an extension cord with you, because you never know exactly where a plug is going to be. A lot of times they're right by the bedside, but you know, sometimes you have to unplug the lamp to get to it or something like that. Sometimes it's not right where you expect it to be. Or if you're not on that side, you will need one.
Bring snacks, and I'm not talking about candy and cookies. Bring something that'll
beef jerky and salted almonds.
Bring me candy and cookies.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, bring nuts, bring jerky.
Trail mix.
Bring trail mix. You want something that will substitute for real food that isn't just plain sugar. You want something that'll hold you if you're not going to get a chance to eat a meal for a little while. And that way you're not feeling sick, lightheaded, desperate, cranky.
Oh my god, drink water.
Yes.
Drink, especially if you're fursuiting.
Yes.
Yeah. Drink a lot of water.
Well, going into snacks, like, Panther and I, we have, for years and years, our thing is we buy a thing of beef jerky and some and a thing of salted almonds, and that is, like, go food. It's like, don't want to go out, still a little hungry, grab a handful, bam, off
well,
the next thing.
With me being a diabetic, usually I have to go, I can't just sit and eat cookies and crackers and everything else. So I get jerky and I get a variety of nuts. Usually I try to go for the more low carb nuts.
Yeah, you like your variety of nuts, don't you?
Fox nuts, wolf nuts, bear
actually
nuts.
Dog nuts and cat nuts, but okay.
Okay. Here's the thing I want to point out. I remember this showing up on FA journals a couple years ago that there was a woman who went to a con and she had medication that needed to be refrigerated. But because hotels only have a limited number of refrigerators, if it's not a hotel, we're all in the room. And because people had requested fridges that didn't really need them, there were no refrigerators available for her to have her medication in. And this was a problem. So unless it's a hotel that advertises that they have a fridge in every room, only request a refrigerator in your room if you really need one.
Because
there are $6 on a styrofoam one.
Yeah, buy a styrofoam ice chest or something.
Didn't that happen also to somebody, a guy at FC a couple years ago?
Well,
not just a.
I'm sure it's happened to more than one person.
I don't remember hearing about
community.
It if it did, but it was a girl, and it was FWA was the one I heard about.
Okay.
And they made it a point to kind of put it out there that, hey, guys, don't do this.
Yeah. And if you need it, request it way ahead of time. And make sure that you tell them you have insulin or whatever it is that you need to keep
regulated. This is for a very important reason.
You know.
Yeah, put it out there that it's for an important reason.
And ahead of time.
Not just you want to keep your brew cold.
And if you're not the room holder, make sure you tell the room holder so that they know it ahead of time to request it.
You know. Pack a laundry bag to keep your clean separate from your smelly.
Or even a trash bag.
You know, pack plus 1 days of clothing.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Calculate how many days you need and then add one to it just in case, I don't know, you shit yourself laughing so hard at Kage's story hour.
I herfed to derfed and didn't do that this year, so I was like, oh, shit.
Well, at least you're close
when I realized,
to FC.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
I don't have to worry about it for Fiesta. I just go back home.
I mean, I know I'm a clumsy motherfucker, and I frequently will spill shit on me. So I always bring a couple sets of extra.
Yeah. So, my gay, don't forget your clothes in the drawers when you're checking out of the hotel. That has happened to so many people.
I don't even take mine out. I just put them in.
Just keep mine in the bag.
Yeah.
Don't leave your cash box in the hotel room if you're a dealer, and then drive for fucking hours before you realize
it. I know
it.
Some idiot would do that.
I know, right? What kind of asshole would do
it? I know.
Learn from our mistakes.
Yes, that's why this podcast exists. Learn from our mistakes. We should be an example to the world.
Of what not to do.
Yes.
Yeah, actually, kind of. let's see.
Hang on, Teal?
Yeah, so cons can be overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a lot going on. You're seeing friends you may not have seen over a period of time. And there is the tendency to go, 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 go.
Right.
Take some time during the day. Take a break. If you're, if you have to, just go up to your room for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It can help.
Take a breath.
Take a breath. There is this tendency, I want to do everything. You're not going to be able to do everything at a con.
Let's
realize that from day one. From the day one. You're going to try and do what you can. Don't overwhelm yourself. Come back next year, do the things you didn't do. Don't push yourself.
That's a real good point. Also, we should take this opportunity to go ahead and throw out the 6-2-1 rule.
Absolutely.
Just 6 hours of sleep, 2 meals a day, 1 shower a day minimum. Do not mix those up.
Okay. Not negotiable.
Okay, you can take 2 extra showers a day. I'll be okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
6 showers a day.
Or 6 showers a day, you're wasting my water, though.
Also, wash not just yourself, but make sure that you wash your clothes before coming to a con. And make sure you wash your fursuit if you suit. I've been around too many fursuits that fur smells like nasty old carpet in some piss-stained roach motel if you do not take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are very fastidious suitors out there that do take care of their shit.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a novice suitor, you may not know that you got to take care of that. You got to watch that.
You get some tips from other suitors who've done this for a while.
Absolutely, yeah. And for suitors, emergency fursuit repair kit might be a good thing to bring.
And
needle,
back.
Thread, and what?
There's a like an antibacterial spray. And
oh, yeah, and yeah, that's right.
A lot of surgeons use it, and it's good to have in your suit kit.
Oh, and condoms and lube. I know this feeds into the whole furry stereotype of sex, 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 but to quote a line from a movie, condom is like a gun. I would rather not need one and have one than need one and not have one.
Your hotel kit, if you are sexually active, should contain condoms and lube. Period. Do it.
Regardless of your gender or position, because if your partner doesn't have one and you have them, then you're good to go.
If neither of them you have
Just always bring them. They should
just do it.
I keep my sex bag
in my con bag. Like, it just lives there. I don't even take it out. It stays in my bag.
I got my little black gift bag.
It's a gift upon the world. It and is. All of its foxes.
Yep.
Yeah, it's bigger on the inside. I open it up and foxes pour out of
it. Oh, shit!
I don't know what you're doing. Just... Mine's bigger on the outside.
I just... He's still foxes everywhere.
Yeah. It unfurls. Like that podcast.
Douchebags.
Yeah. Any other important tips? Pre-reg. Pre-reg. If you are going pre-reg. To a convention, pre-reg.
Speaking of which...
And volunteer.
Pre-reg and volunteer, yes. Fiesta's pre-reg closes the end of this month, is that right?
31st at midnight.
So you've got, what, a week, basically, left? Maybe less by the time this episode drops?
This goes for you, Rikoshi.
Hint, motherfucker.
Oh, bitch, I won't make him pre-reg. This goes for you, Buck, if you haven't done it already.
Oh, God, Diddy's going insane. I gotta give real props to our reg guy. Or any of our reg people, because he's just been going, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god.
Yeah, I'm sure he's swamped fuck.
Well, yeah, it's a good, I also throw out, because Keo told me something today that I didn't know about Anthrocon's
yes.
hotel policies. Oh, and here's the thing. Make sure to go to a convention's website that you might be interested in well in advance. Read up on their policies. And like on my end for dealers, like they would change shit into dealer policies and not necessarily put out a big announcement that they changed shit. So it's always a good idea to read over shit like how are we doing reg? How are we doing hotel rooms? What are the dealer's policies? If you're a dealer, you need to look into what the tax situation is. Because sometimes it's real simple. You fill out a form at the after the con and you mail a check to the revenue department of the state. And in some cases, it's really complex. Like you have to, like for a couple of cons, I have to file like twice a year, even though I'm only in that state selling once a year. So like one of them will be $0 and one of them will be that convention sales, you know? So it varies from state to state. So for dealers, yeah, there's a lot more shit to do, but
yeah,
a couple of things there.
Yeah, just there are some changes to the way Anthrocon's doing their hotel this year.
Yep.
Go to the website, read it. You have to be pre-reg to reserve a hotel room this year.
The other thing about AC that they started either last year or the year before, no Artist Alley sign-ups on site. You have to do it online before the convention, which I don't know if they had an issue with that or if that caught a lot of people off guard. And I'm not picking on Anthrocon. I'm just using them as an example. That
they are the biggest convention, what every other convention compares to. So it's completely understandable. Fair enough.
But they're just a real good example of, hey, con staffs look at how shit ran every year. And they tweak things and they make changes to policies and procedures to adapt with their growing size and what their attendees are like. So definitely keep up with the conventions that you might be interested in attending. Even if you've been to it 10 times before, it's still a good idea to check up, especially if you're a dealer.
I changed my policies for volunteers this year. You do more than 40 hours, I will give you a hug.
They would have... Jesus.
Well, remember, some hours count twice.
Okay. And some work ahead of the con, too.
That's true. I was like,
you were like, wait a minute, how is that possible?
There's only 72 hours in the con.
Wasn't there some kid who did like that?
Yes, I've had someone that did 55 hours one year.
And that's including like the double time hours. Do you want to throw out some of those? What are some of the heavy volunteer times that you need people for that pay extra volunteer hours?
Oh, extra hours. The double hours times are all of Thursday, after closing ceremony, Sunday, they're doing a casino event. I'm doing double hours for this year, apparently. Overnight. Mm-hmm. Saturday night security.
What about Monday morning for load up?
Monday morning also, but I don't normally handle that.
Yeah,
it is
count.
A thing. Yes, it is double time.
Mm-hmm.
But those are like the heavy areas. And morning registration on Friday.
So pay attention, guys. These are the times that Fiesta doubles your hours for, because these are the times that the con needs the most help with.
Yes.
If you see all my lights on and I'm screaming and crying at you, that probably means I need help, yo.
So we're hoping that some of our listeners will be able to attend the convention and volunteer.
Yeah, if I don't get help, I'm going to hit you with a trank dart.
So also convention note, apparently Keo is armed with trank darts.
Dude, I totally am. Trank darts and Lola.
You trank them, you haul them into position, you wait for them to wake up, and they find themselves shackled. Hey,
you're door guard now, bitch.
Well, if I run out of trank darts, I'll just send a screaming drag queen after them.
Your cuffs automatically open in 8 hours, and then you can be off shift. Okay, so we could throw out other ideas if we remembered them in the next little while.
Yeah, let's power through some emails, because we have a lot.
I'm going to go ahead and continue here. So, convention unconventionalism. Legion Bunny is possibly headed to FWA next year.
Yay.
Legion Bunny also refers to himself in the third person. And was wondering, I don't know any furs in my area, and this will be my first con. I live in North Carolina, and was wondering, at some point, you suggested at the first con, meet up with other furs. Seeing as I don't really know anyone, save online, can I meet them? If so, how do I arrange that? Also, I'm headed to a local non-furry con later this year. In their policy, it says not to cover your face unless it is during the costume contest. Kind of defeats the purpose of a fursuit. Any way around it. Insert line of humor that seemed funnier in my head. Okay, so first point. Meeting furs online. Yeah, you can do that. You totally should do that. You should meet and put a face to some of your online friends. And that'd be good people to hang out with. How to do that? Just talk to them, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. If you know people in your local area, if not, find the groups that are closest in your state.
There are people in North Carolina. There are furries in there.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have like a announcement that there's a con in North Carolina starting up in the emails.
Oh, is there?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
jolly good.
Yeah, a couple more.
I'm not sure. I hadn't heard about that one yet, but I do also want to throw out there are two other cons I know of starting up. There's Furlandia, which takes place in Oregon.
Portland.
It's named after Portlandia.
Nice.
Furlandia. And there's also the Biggest Little Fur Con, which is in Reno, Nevada, being
put on. I was interested in that one, actually. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The rabbits are going to it. It's being put on by Chuck. Graveyard Greg is going to it. He was talking up at FC. They were giving out little poker chips with the con logo on it as a promotional item.
So yeah, it looks pretty cool.
And Tugs pointed out that they have, like, the best policy rules on their website.
They are. I haven't looked at the rules, but I looked at the About Us section.
Yeah,
and they're pretty funny. What was the other? Oh, their con theme this year is very appropriate. It's the Roaring Twenties.
Nice.
I think it's kind of cool. So that's a couple of new conventions.
It's their mascot, a lion.
Your way.
So, as for the policy regarding covering your face, that probably means that your fursuit's not welcome.
You might want to go on their forums. There might be costuming discussing what you can do.
And it could be a local ordinance. I don't know where you're at.
This is a common policy now for mm-hmm. a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Where
9/11 changed everything.
9/11 changed a lot of things. Terrorists. And covering your face is not allowed in many places. And this is why randomly going in fursuit to a library without prearranging that is not a good idea.
I want
to
slap people that do that stupid shit. Oh my god!
Well, see, like that raises a question though. Like the bandanas that they were selling at FC.
Maybe.
Obviously, you don't have that over your mouth when you're walking around town. But even in the con space,
I don't know.
It depends.
Certainly didn't. You know, see anybody getting hassled about it, but I was kind of like...
But it's a furry con. They have fursuits, so of course you can
cover
your face at FC.
Yeah, I was just using it to not cough on people.
To give an example for the non-local here, this is why at A-Con, the hotel next door to A-Con, which was the Overflow Hotel where they had a lot of their panels, was the Westin. It's in the Plaza of the Americas. You're not allowed to bring weapons in there. You're not allowed to take pictures in there because there's a federal office in that building somewhere. So that puts a real damper on the cosplayers because that's where the food is.
Yeah, you gotta take your helmets off, take your hats off, and like,
leave all your
fake
weapons like by the door in a pile, like a gun check.
Next to a very dour looking security guard.
Yeah, and that's a total bummer, but this is like
a
20,000 person.
Employee.
convention, and they've got to abide by these rules because federal office in the building. What are you going to do?
Big Brother says, no, fuck you. You can't bring that fantasy-looking rifle in here.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're...
It could be a rule of the hotel the convention is in. It could be a rule of the locality, somebody said. So I would not try to get around it or circumvent it. It's just going to get your ass kicked out of the con.
Yeah. Don't do that, kids.
So, Savern, you want to take the next one?
All right. This one is a small con report tip.
Okay.
Hey, guys. I have nothing to ask you guys at the moment, but to bring your attention to a con report on further confusion this past year. I don't recommend you guys read the con report on the air since it's a big-ass novel of a report due to the journalists having to write for Kotaku. This is the thing we referred to earlier.
Yeah,
right. The writer, as a non-fur from what I understand, is gone because one of her friends or acquaintance wanted to tag along, or she was asked to do the story since the convention was in the area. I'm not entirely sure myself how to read how they were asked to do the story since I was half asleep while I kept reading along.
Boy, it really kept your attention.
Yeah. Top it off, sounded like she really enjoyed herself and possibly decided to go next year since she enjoyed herself. The thing really seemed to ruin the mood of a happy con report altogether was the comments from other locals on the site at the end. The first few comments when the article first came out with people bashing on furries like any other day who think they're weird. But it's nice to say what was typing to you guys and gals back the link. A lot of furries seem to post their own comments as well, bringing their memories or good times from being in the community or trying to protest the hateful bashing that happened to surface up. Overall, I wanted to point this out since it was pretty great aspects of community from inside of the conventions on how everyone acts, interacts, thinks, etc. Most of the facts that the non-fur wants to come out... Most with the fact that the non-fur wants to come back for having fun, wouldn't you say that was a positive outlook?
Yeah,
and actually the article was, for anything, positive. The person had fun. The person talked to them, and they were like, wait, isn't, like, sex this huge deal for you? And most people are like, not really.
I mean, what?
It's a thing.
Humans like sex.
I love sex.
But, you know,
but, yeah.
Part of the article is, like, how she was half expecting everyone to run around in harnesses with their cocks and glass cages or something like that.
It's like a completely different convention in the San Francisco.
Did you just introduce a new fetish, Savra?
Is that like Folsom?
I believe that's Folsom, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm having Freddy Krueger's baby.
No.
Really? I have not. What?
What?
It's a super. I'm just going to make it up as I go along. It'd be like a super extreme form of CBT. And bondage combined. Mm-hmm. If you get an erection, you just stabs your dick into glass.
Don't do that, kids. Catherine the Great.
Stabs it into glass full of confetti.
So that's terrible. Don't even listen to me.
So you can be in pain and festive at the same time.
But yeah, if you deem to give Kotaku a link, the person is a fair write-up. They seem to have had fun, though they focus primarily on getting drunk. And
which is okay, because that's what a lot of furries do.
That's true. And interacting with people.
Some people in the room wave their hand at that comment.
One of the things that they say is that she says to the author's talking to the woman, my husband researches, and yeah, by and large, furries are by and large. And I'm like, that's our line.
Don't use our line, chop.
It's our words.
Well, it's not. Like ours, but yeah, I thought it was pretty funny. So there we go.
Okay, side comment on the whole comments thing. Teal's Guide to Happiness. Don't read comments on the internet.
Don't read comments on
the internet.
By the way, furries are weird.
Yeah, we're weird. Okay, but don't read comments on the internet.
It's just gonna take you off.
Yeah, there's usually nothing informative in the.
Oh, okay.
It's like watching, you know, the Senate debate. So,
it's like watching flies fuck, as George Carlin said.
I love George Carlin.
It's like watching Congress try to make a decision.
Frustrating and anger-inducing?
Yes!
Anyway, my first convention. Hey, Notcast. At present, I found myself in a financial situation where I can consider going to a con. Congratulations! At present, I'm targeting Rainforest 2013. Congratulations!
Good con.
Awesome. I hear they have an awesome guest of honor.
I do too.
Some
I hear that.
I hear that a lot.
As all plans of this nature are extremely tentative, what should I tackle first? Con registration? Booking a room? Airfare? How far out should I plan for these things if I want to go? If it would be my first con, it's kind of out of the way. Should I try to book a room with a bunch of internet friends / strangers? Finally, there's another con that's considerably closer. Furfright. Should I forget about Rainforest for this year and dip my toe in into a con that is a lot closer? Thanks. Pyro. Heart.
Yay.
So, near or far?
Ooh, so the one question I wish I knew is that Furfright's considerably closer, but how closer? Do you still have to fly? Because if you have to fly, then it doesn't really make a difference. You still have to buy a plane ticket.
Mm. I'm going to assume it's in a general distance of driving.
Yeah.
Because I always assume that people are cognizant of flying being the same thing, regardless of where you go.
I'm going to say if it's your first con, go to your local con.
Yep.
You're going to have more people you know there. Mm-hmm. It's going to be easier to find roommates.
Cheaper.
It's going to be cheaper.
Because you can carpool.
And you can carpool, and you'll be a little bit better off in familiar surroundings.
Plus, you know, Rainforest is on the complete other side of the country from Furfright.
Yeah, that is pretty far
distance. And if you're in that part of the Northeast, you've got, like, Anthrocon relatively nearby as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, if you're still looking at, like, Q4 cons, yeah, Furfright or
Midwest.
FA Fest. United, isn't it? Isn't FA United, like, in the...
FA United is in New Jersey.
It's in August, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're looking at, you know, Q3, Q4, that would sort of be right there.
Mm-hmm. And there's always, like you said, Midwest.
Yeah. So... while I do want to recommend Rainforest, and if you're not there, I'll QQ. But, yeah, I'm kind of leaning towards the advice of the others here that if it's closer on you, it's your first con, you want to have... it's already going to be kind of an overwhelming experience being at a convention for the first time. You don't want to add additional travel time and distance and being completely out of your element on top of that. The nice thing is that both of those conventions are about the same size, so you're really kind of in the same boat either way there.
Are they?
Yeah, Furfright capped at 1,500, and RF hit, I think, 1,200 last year, so I bet you this year RF will hit 1,500.
Okay, for some reason I thought Furfright was smaller than that.
No, they're getting really big.
They're getting big.
They're not going to get any bigger, though, because they capped. They capped attendance.
Yeah, they don't want
to. I mean, I was going to say I have two things. You know, one, Furfright is a smaller con, but apparently I was obscenely wrong.
Just a couple years out of date.
Yeah, a little bit. It's your local con. It's your first convention. Honestly, the best thing you're going to get out of this is the fact that you might actually meet people that you could hang out with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if it's a local, quote unquote, or it's in your area con,
you'll find people who are most likely going to be local.
Yeah, you'll find people that are closer and you can actually see, whereas if you go to Rainforest, you're going to meet Canadians.
Yeah.
Which is awesome, but...
so,
but not locals.
I am going to throw one log on the fire for Rainforest here, because I know who Pyro is. Pyro is a writer. So the one thing to consider is that Rainforest is a very writer-focused convention, and a lot of writers go to that con. So Fur Planet will be there. So Tieran and I will be there. Buck will be there. Z will be there. Siani will be there. Savern will be there. Soph Wolf also deals at that con. So Kyle will be there. Kame Harasaki will be there. The other owners of Soph Wolf will be there, Bear and Aloe. So, yeah, and a lot of those folks that are from that area, from the Bay Area and NorCal and everything, they hop on a plane a couple hours up there to Seattle to go to Rainforest. So it's a lot of that same writer group from the FC kind of area go to that con as well. So if you're a rider and you want to meet a bunch of other riders, you go to a lot of riding tracks, then out of those two convention choices, I would say Rainforest.
Yeah.
It's an excellent, excellent con for riding.
Excellent point.
Also, it's one of my favorite cons. It just is.
Yeah. So it's entirely up to you which way you want to go with that. I don't think you'll have a bad time at either con.
We should probably tackle his rooming question also.
His rooming question, sure.
What order do you do things in?
Con reg, booking a room, or airfare? See, I would definitely, as soon as they announce that rooms are open to book, book a room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because hotels at conventions fill up like that. Now, with the exception of Fur Fright, which is capped, cons will let you pre-reg up until a month before the event. So registration is not as high on the priority chain. I would say book a room, and then the next two are interchangeable. Airfare is one of those things where it's like if you book it way far in advance, you might get a shitty price. If you book it right before, you might get a great price because they're filling up seats, or you might get a shitty price because there's only one seat left.
Use a flight tracker.
Use a flight tracker.
Fare tracker.
Go to the cheap flights kind of websites. Actually, there's one you use called cheapflights.com, right?
I use Airfare Watchdog.
Airfare Watchdog. Yeah, I think I'm using that too. You know, places like orbits.com, hotwire.com. It's difficult to say where buying airfare should be on your priority chain.
It really depends on how much airfare you have and when you're basically going to risk, when you're going to drop the dime.
Another tip I'm going to throw out there is if you're on Twitter, watch the Twitter accounts of the various conventions and the conventions that you're interested in. Just today, Biggest Little FurCon put out two tweets that said, hey, if you're in Vegas, there's this flight sale to Reno for this amount. Hey, if you're in San Francisco, there's this flight sale for this amount. And I've also seen, I think FC has done, hey guys, Southwest is having a huge sale this week. If you need to fly to FC, book now. And I'm not promising that every con will do this, but they will throw out things like that. Lots of tidbits of information. They also put out well in advance when Hotel Reg is going to be open, when Dealer Reg is going to be open, if you're going to be a dealer. So follow their Twitter accounts. I made a list, actually, on my Twitter of furry U.S. Furry Convention Twitter accounts. I have to add a few since there's been a few new few cons since then. But definitely do that. So that's what I've got as far as like booking a room in Con Reg and stuff. You guys want to add anything to that?
He also had the booking a room with people he didn't know.
Which
he's not going to know anyone because it's his first con.
Well, he's not going to know anyone in person, but he may know people online.
Yeah.
So most cons have a ride and room share forum, which is rarely used, but you can try. And I'd also throw it out there on Twitter. Be like, hey, who's going to X con? Or I'm looking for a roommate at this con.
It's basically, you got to decide what's more important. Your pocketbook? Or if you're going to be able to swing the full room yourself and you don't want to risk internet
your pocketbook
strangers.
Or your kidneys.
Yeah.
That and sometimes, honestly, taking the risk gives you that experience.
Hey, and
sometimes
you've got two
good
kidneys.
Experience, sometimes bad.
And don't room with Keo because he is looking to sell organs.
Yep.
He needs to replace this.
No, it's to pay off my student loans. I mean, I would never.
That's why I have the new tattoos. I see.
Cut here. with the little dash diagram.
Yeah.
I thought you were just a really big fan of the Milton Bradley game Operation.
I hate that game. I suck. I have no fine motor control.
I always touch the side.
I thought it was just dotting to like cut here and you've got like a rump roast.
I hate.
So moving on.
So from eviscerating furries for Keo's student loans, we're going to move on to the next email.
So we're going to talk. Wait, who read the last email?
Keo.
Oh,
did he?
It's yeah. L-shaped.
Shiva gets to talking.
Yeah. Okay. West Coast Con info. Hey, Notcasters. So I didn't get to make it to FC this year, but I will be making it to a few other West Coast cons. I saw an FA that you guys were looking for more info on other cons, so here are the ones I will be attending. I also have some useful advice for new congoers who might not know what goes on at furry cons. My next con will be Vancouver, which is taking place March 1st to the 3rd in beautiful Vancouver, BC. That's in Canada. This year's theme is Rocks and Rails, celebrating the railroad and mining industries that built the beautiful province that is British Columbia, Canada.
Oh, man, they should have Gordon Lightfoot as a guest of honor.
We are looking forward to an amazing this year with a big growth and a lot more space. Our guests of honor are the wonderful people from Contact Caffeine. So if any of your listeners are in the area or even close by, there's still tons of hotel space and pre-reg is still open until the end of the month. Since this is a small con, it would be great for a first-time congoer or any congoer. If you want more info, just check out vancouver.ca. Okay, shameless pitch aside, the other con I will be attending is Rainfest in September, which I believe our host Fuzz and the Fur Planet crew are guests of honor.
I hear they have a great guest of honor.
Dick Wolves.
Congrats on that, by the way.
Thank you.
But it's going to be an awesome year full of amazing dances, shows, and other events. If you're planning to go, it's taking place September 26th to 29th, and you can check out the details at rainfest.org. I don't have much advice or experienced congoers other than to plan ahead and bring enough money. With money to prepay or your hotel to make damn sure you have enough money for food.
Oh my god, yeah. Oh,
yes, please. Don't spend all your cash on the extra large Bad Dragon toy and not have enough money for food the entire weekend. Other than that, follow the 6-2-1 or 6 hours of sleep, 2 meals a day, and 1 shower a day.
I would have been disappointed if nobody mentioned that in our emails, so yeah. Thank you.
Happy congoing and Fuzz, I owe you a drink at Rainfest, Savern, Shiva, you guys too. Toodles, Dragon Man Mike, Rainfest, and Vancouver website lead.
That reminded me of a completely separate tip that everyone should follow. Keep your food money and your spending money separate from each other.
Oh, yes. Mm. Well, for not real. Your food money, the vitals, call it the essentials.
Yes.
Yes, because you don't want to spend your hotel money or else people are going to be rip yes. shit at you.
The tip follows
eating etiquette. Dining out etiquette.
Oh, motherfucker. Yep, sorry. Okay,
dining yes. out etiquette. Every So here in Texas, we typically do split checks. Mm-hmm. It's very common out here. Yeah. In California, you have to ask specifically for it. And, be aware of what you're going to be doing with your diners. Are you going to be all paying on separate credit cards? You're going to be paying with cash? Get that out of the way first so there's not confusion at the end of the meal.
Mm-hmm.
If you carry cash, make sure you know that. If you're going to be splitting the check, make sure your waiter knows this ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. Okay? And don't be that douchebag that dines and dashes or leaves other people holding the bag. I saw at least 2 or 3 tweets during FC weekend where a bunch of people had gone out to a sushi place and like 2 or 3 furs had just fucking left without paying.
That
fucks over the people you're dining with, and if they don't notice, it just looks bad on the community. And when you go to convention, you're an ambassador for our fandom in a community that you don't live in typically,
right?
And if you wanna leave a good impression, because that affects the convention, their ability to negotiate, their ability to get good deals at the various restaurants and stuff like that mm-hmm. in the area. Also, tip your maids on that, yes. Especially if you have a party room or you have a bunch of fursuit or bondage gear laying around.
Oh, my God, like I know that to be true.
Yeah. Tip your maids. They put up with a lot of shit.
They've seen some shit.
Literally, yes. Sometimes.
They have. Yeah. And when you are calculating your meal, your drink and your tip is included in the meal. Do not miscalculate that when you are thinking about how much money you're spending.
Yes,
this is an often common mistake. People forget about adding their tip money
mm-hmm.
into yes. the price of their meal. I've got $10 and my tip and meal has cost $15.
Yes. Yeah. Always remember, if you're in a group larger than 6, most restaurants will charge you a group fee and they will add their own tip into the bill.
Most common is an 18% gratuity.
Yep. You read my mind. I was just going to say that and just say don't flip your shit when you see the extra tab on there. That's standard. And also, you know, if they're really exemplary service, you can tip beyond that. Yep. But you don't have to because it's already built in if you don't have the cash to do it. But it's like 15, 18% usually.
Yeah, when I go to cons, I try to tip 20 because they're putting up a lot of shit that weekend.
Yeah, and I figure everyone is working extra hours. It's a hard job anyway for the maids and management staff at the hotel. It's a hard job, but all of a sudden, 3,000 people of varying ages and backgrounds just all show up out of nowhere. Because we all have this thing in common, but it's not like we're all Avon sales ladies or we're all working in the same company and we're all dressed the same or something like that. We're all so different. It's such a variety of personalities. You don't know what these poor people had to deal with before you got up to the desk or whatever. So
these people work hard. They make a living doing this.
And for God's sakes, if you throw a room party, pick up your shit at least a little bit. You know, bring trash bags, gather up your shit. Especially if you have, I hate to say it, some of the fetish style stuff. I think you guys know what I'm referring to. Clean that up, for God's sakes. Mm-hmm. Don't scare the maids. We want to be invited back, and we don't want to incur, you know,
bring sand and a shovel to clean up the vomit and the blood.
FC, I was amazed.
Oh God, yes.
Going up to your room,
uh-huh,
when to do that recording, we stopped on the fourth floor, and they had fucking saran wrapped everything.
They did this last year too. The party floor.
Yeah.
They saran wrapped all the floor.
They've been doing that at FC for a long time.
I find that hilarious because I'm just thinking, oh my god, some J Lube and world's biggest slip and slide.
Now, is it the hotel?
Is it everyone of you that has that?
Yeah, fantasy? The hotel does it.
I just think it'd be funny. Yeah, I guess they arrange with the hotel to do it. It's way too pro looking to have just been like a random party
goer. They did that at the old DoubleTree. They did that at the Fairmont.
Which makes me think, like, how fucking bad were the parties that they had to surround the floor?
So FC has a policy where you're not supposed to have parties other than the party floor.
Mm-hmm.
It's the thing they've always had, apparently.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's controlled chaos, I guess. It's everyone's gonna get drunk, stumble around with drinks on this floor. So we're going to saran wrap everything, so when they stumble around and vomit everywhere, there's saran wrap.
It makes perfect sense. I don't know how crazy people get at parties, if that's a common occurrence or what. Okay, all right. I believe.
I've heard the FC room parties get really crazy, and I caught the very end of the Saturday night FC party floor, mm-hmm, and bitches were fucked drunk.
Well, I'll be darned.
Yes.
So, okay.
That happened.
So, Teal read that one?
No.
I think, though, we should actually let Teal read this one and then just kind of trail off for this week.
Okay, sure.
Which one did you want him to read?
The Birth of a Con.
Which actually isn't a con announcement. It's asking, how do I con?
Yeah, so do we want to do a different one or that one?
Because we could totally address that, but we'd be here for another hour.
That one has a TARDIS.
All right, so which one is the con announcement that you want him to read?
I misread the thing, so it's this Birth of a Con thing.
He asked the question earlier.
The one with the TARDIS, with the thing.
Okay.
Okay, so The Birth of a Con, to be read like a Stardate gate log. What? Okay, too many fandoms here. The wild lands of North Carolina, desolate and devoid of furries, lonely and dark. The year is 2013, and I find myself stuck in this dark and foreboding land.
Foreboding? Okay, I thought you said foreboding.
I might have said foreboding.
Foreboding.
Well, that's what.
Foreboding.
Foreboding.
It's an object community for furries that like boats.
So, foreboding land. I call to you the only furs I have contact that I know have been around and at least partially involved in kicking it off the ground. I would like to know, how are cons organized? North Carolina has no furry cons that I know of. there was something called Feralia.
Ferrale. It was going to be.
My tongue cannot wrap around those letters.
Okay.
North Carolina.
But I believe that boat sunk. My, I know a lot more goes into cons than what can be seen on the surface. But how is it all done? Legion, P.S. I couldn't find any sites on how to be a trap. Do you guys know any?
Hey, Keo. So, or do you know of any sites on how to be a trap? How to get your Dragulator
running?
Dragulator.
YouTube.
Yeah.
Honestly, everything I have learned from drag has been from YouTube.
Interesting.
So, look up cross-dressing
on drag. YouTube. Amazing.
So,
oh my god, where do you start with this one?
How is
first of all,
how is Babby Con made?
Money. First thing you need is money.
Money.
It is so hookers. Delicious.
You need hookers
because you need money to pay deposits on the hotel. You need money to back up if you can't sell all your roommates at a hotel. You need income.
I heard you don't sell roommates. I don't know why.
We're not that kind of con. we'd take you to the knacker's yard, sell you for parts.
Yeah, no money, no con. That's
yeah, no money, no con.
Experience is always a plus. So, start out, you need a venue that's friendly to you. You need lots of money because you got to start from somewhere. Mm-hmm. And that money is coming out of your pocket. Just so you know, cons are not a money-making venture. Cons will never be a money-making venture unless you're, like, Dragon Con.
There'll be a break-even venture is so, your goal.
I don't think people realize exactly the kind of money that goes in it, but I know... going back to Furry Fiesta, it's the one I know and love. Well, it's the one I'm also involved with. I get to see the money that goes into the con. Furry Fiesta alone... the money that we output for this year was almost $100,000. So
we expensive, yo.
Do you remember how much it was year one?
I don't
because
remember.
Year one it was self. So here's how Furry Fiesta did it. Year one it was self funded.
A lot of people donated a lot of money.
We had we had lifetime memberships for sale that were extra expensive, so that was a little jump of money. Most of the staff and the board members donated money also,
mm-hmm.
and it was self-funded. And the idea was that we wouldn't use our registration money that was coming in. Our registration money was going to go towards funding Furry Fiesta 2, and it would roll forward like that so that the con was always solvent. But getting that first year up and running was financially difficult because it kind of... required us to think of ways to generate income and some of us to put some cash on the line in order to do it. And but I don't remember what our first... I know
we it was still used, over 50 grand, I thought.
It was... I think it was more like 25 that first
yeah,
year.
Yeah, but that came out of a lot of people's pockets.
Yeah, it's, and we did yep. use some of the reg that first year.
Yes.
And then as time went by, we used less and less of the reg from the following year till we got to the point... at least 2 or 3 years ago now, where now each Fiesta is 100% funded by the year before's registration fees.
Yeah. Plus, you got to have, you know, the know-how, you know, how people. To manage funds. You have to have people. You
experienced staff is an amazing thing.
Or you can just have people like us that winged it.
Hey, well, you know, we're experienced in staff now. Attending. We're experienced... con attendees
mm-hmm.
That first year. You know, if you've been to a lot of cons, furry or otherwise, you've kind of seen how other people do it. You know what works. You know what irritated you, what you think didn't work. You could come into the con with a lot of ideas about how to do shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, every con, if you've been to a con, you kind of have a general idea and what you like and what you don't like. And so...
just have a good core staff, honestly.
Yeah.
Like,
how many people do it first year? 14, 15?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. And, like, half of us were probably very experienced with attending cons, at mm-hmm. least.
You also have to be somewhat realistic that bringing up a con and staffing it is going to take time out of your life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
a lot.
It's going to take a lot of time out of your life, and these are labors of love that you may not necessarily see immediate gratification.
Yeah. Years ago, I thought it would be cool to chair a con. but I never stepped up and I never volunteered to do it because I own a business. So I have a day job and I have a business. And chairing a con is a whole other job. Mm-hmm. If you're heavily involved in that core staff, chairing and co-chairing, that's a whole job right there. So I purposely took the lowest involved position on the staff I could, and that was the con book guy, because I could finish that before the con started and then go be a dealer at the con. And see,
here I am shifting into what is Guardian's role on own. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know that.
So
I would be keeping up.
I'm not shifting into Guardian's position at Fiesta, but in my own thing.
Oh, your thing. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so it's like there's a lot that goes into it and a lot of back end work. It's like I've spent the last 6 months working and stressing and arranging things.
It basically becomes a part-time job that you do for charity. It is a part-time job
for these folks.
And only this last weekend were we able to kick it into now it really is going to go fast. Yeah. So, you know.
Gotta go fast.
Yeah, we do actually. Gotta get people before other people do and blah, blah, blah.
I'm just a moth next to the bug zapper. I just keep going,
Yeah.
But, I mean, you do conventions because you have a passion to put on a good show, to bring your communities together. You don't do it because you want to be a kingmaker. You want to make it so your friends can have a good time.
It's a labor of love.
It is. It's got to be a labor of love.
If you do not have the passion for the community, or you do not support and believe 100% in what you're doing,
if you're not willing to do a part-time job for free and very little thanks.
And honestly, if you go to furry cons, since you are asking how to start them up, if you can, I would say go to a fur con and start
observing.
Volunteering. Volunteer. Like, go
totally
in
yeah.
and start figuring out what's going on to make the convention run. Mm-hmm. Do back data before you jump into the fire.
Yeah. Maybe go and volunteer or be staff at one of the other cons and see what you're getting into before you jump into it full feet. And if you're looking for something a little bit less, whatever, you start, see about putting on like a fur meet, which is you don't usually need a hotel space. You might need to pick a venue or a park.
Sometimes fur meets turn into conventions.
Yeah. You should hone your organizing skills on fur meets and mid-sized events like that. That's a real good idea. You know, I did meets back home in Florida and a little bit here. There's a party I used to go to in Florida called Furloween. It's basically a Halloween party down in the Orlando area, and that now it has like 150 people there, and it's like that
sounds really familiar.
Yeah, it's like a one night party basically, and you know there's that fur ball in Pennsylvania, I think, that is like a one night New Year's Eve party, and they advertise and they bring a lot of people in there and stuff like that. So these are like just really large fur meets that have grown into like little mini conventions.
Yeah, and you don't have to go from 0 to 1,500 people.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
A lot of people get this idea that you're going to be the king of your community.
You're going to be the next Anthrocon or something. And
that just don't happen. Be realistic in your assessments. Don't undershoot, you know, and be like a con that happened here in Texas that was like they expected 200 and 900 showed up. But you know, do it Fiesta. We expected, what, 350 or so?
We thought we'd do good at 200, and we got, like, 450, and we were kind of like, ee!
And then we got to, like, what, 527 or something?
542.
Growing exponentially.
542. That was our first year.
Yeah.
But we handled it. Nobody died. I sure felt like it at the end of the weekend, but
a great year that year.
But, you know.
One of us.
Yeah.
So conventions, it's a lot of hard work. If you don't know anybody, you're already screwed. Sorry, but try to get to know some people. You know, it's start harsh, doing but meets.
That's fair.
I mean, I know that I have got to rev the fuck up of my community organizing skills, and as well as I'm learning WordPress and negotiating with other conventions and the like. Mm. It is certainly an eye-opening experience, and it'll be something to put on my resume.
Something else to consider when you are gathering a large different people to try and organize something you kind of have to have an open mind.
Yes.
You have to have the ability to listen. There are going to be ideas thrown about. There are going to be things coming back and forth between. And you're not going to like some of them. And what you say, people aren't going to like. And you've got to be able to work through that. If you can't work through it, you're never going to get your convention off the ground.
And sometimes people will throw out really, really stupid ideas because they don't know any better. And your challenge is to not crack up laughing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If you're a good con chair, you can do that.
And also don't...
realize that... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, there's going to be a lot of egos involved. And you're going to come to realize that some people, when you don't go with their ideas, are going to get their feelings hurt. They basically, when you don't do what they think you should, they get, for lack of a better
really
term,
huffy.
Really huffy, really butthurt. And it's just, they take, when you don't take their suggestions, as a personal attack. And you have to learn to negotiate personalities. Mm-hmm. You have to learn how to gently let someone down or prop them up. But it's all about people handling, too.
Remember, when somebody's giving you an idea that may not be what is needed, they're trying to help.
Yes.
Typically, they're trying to help.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to do Wipeout with fursuits, and that idea was shot down. And I
mean,
just like,
why not? Why can't we throw people in fursuits into a pool of water? Come on. You're ruining my fun.
It might get rid of some of the smell.
But then it would make stew.
A pool of Febreze.
Well, we could do, you know, the stew, and then we can throw in the bleach bomb.
So that's another convention tip, is bathe before you get into the pool or the hot tub.
And then bathe when you get out.
I heard that, yeah, totally. But I heard this horror story from Anthrocon years ago that, like, by Thursday night, so many smelly fur fags had been in the hot tub that it looked like a human stew. That was the description I heard for it, and I'm just like, oh my god.
I will give you the same.
Speaking of that, I swear I've seen, like, somebody made a giant Nutrition Facts fanboy stew. It's like, fat, lots. Sodium, way too much. Dietary fiber, no.
What are you going to say, Kia?
I will give you the same tip that I was given by my drag mama a long time ago.
In a galaxy
bitch, if you were
going
to put on some shit, you need to take a shower first, because you are going to be a stank bitch. So, mine was applying to makeup. If you're going to get into a fursuit, honey, take a fucking shower beforehand and use some deodorant.
All over your body.
Yes.
All over your fursuit.
And then when you get out of your fursuit, you know what you're going to do? You're going to get take another fucking shower, because you're a nasty bitch.
It's not
going to
kill you.
Oh, I'm having flashbacks about a fursuit experience I had once.
Your fursuit needs to stay clean. The best way to do that is to take a shower before you get into it, and take a shower when you get out of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And deodorant. Oh, God. Deodorant.
Mm-hmm. De-fucking-odorant, honey. I don't care if you think you don't need it because you're a crazy motherfucker. Put some fucking deodorant on if you're going to get into a fursuit, because you are nasty.
You're going to wear a rug.
But there's nothing wrong with the all-natural scent of the human body, man.
I know some people that are very... very, they don't have a smell, really.
Yeah.
So, like, my friend David's current boyfriend, like, he doesn't make smell, really, so he doesn't wear deodorant. But still.
Some people do, and you need to make sure you use
deodorant. Everyone should wear deodorant. I don't give a shit if you think you shit roses.
Okay. Even if it's not just deodorant, wear an antiperspirant with deodorant, please. There's deodorant, which just covers up the smell. Wear an antiperspirant deodorant.
See, this
will help you.
Here's the thing. When you first put deodorant on, and you really, really smell it really strongly, and when you first walk into a room where someone has, I don't know, taken a dump somewhere, you smell it really, really strongly. After a while, your brain kind of tunes it out because it gets used to it, and you don't smell it anymore. Your brain is like that with your personal body odor as well. You cannot smell your own stank. The only time you can is like when you've been out mowing the lawn or exercising, and you might smell your sweat. But if you don't shower for 2 weeks or a whole weekend at a con, you're not going to smell your stink. Everybody else around you will.
You're gonna be like,
so even if you don't think you smell, shower.
So we've harped on this a lot, and it's because we've had these con experiences
where we've been in a room
or an elevator where we've had to share an elevator from somebody who hasn't bathed. I'm not trying to pick on you, but I'm picking on you. Wear the deodorant. It saves you.
Another good suggestion for our fursuiting friends, if you have just finished fursuiting and you have no other option, please take your fursuit down to the headless lounge and put it on one of the dryers so it can dry, so it doesn't become a stank mess even more so. After you've cleaned it some, please, God. But there are usually giant blowers in the headless lounge that you can use to dry the sweat out of your fucking fursuit.
Yeah.
It will cause your fursuit to smell.
The thing about sweat and body odor and everything is that normally, like in a normal circumstance, you're in a mall or whatever, one person that hadn't showered for a couple of days, not really going to notice it.
You might get a whiff, and I was like,
ugh. In a convention, when you have several hundred to several thousand people usually crammed into too tight a space, or all trying to get in the same place at once, or all smushed into a line for an elevator, it becomes a much more intimate human experience than you're used to in your day-to-day life. And everyone's individual couple of days of body odor builds up really quickly. It's a question of exponential scale. So that's why when you're on trips at a con, and also for keeping the germs down, because everyone comes from different areas with different bugs and germs, and this is how people get sick.
That's why we have con crud. It's
yeah. By the way, con crud is not an STD. I actually
allegedly
talked to somebody that thought con crud was an STD.
And everyone has it.
No, it's just usually it's just a common cold.
It's spread. Just a cold. But I said on Twitter one day that I had con crud, and somebody asked me why I wasn't safe about sex, and I was like,
what?
Con crud is a cold. It's not an STD. By the way, always wrap your junk.
Yeah.
At cons.
Honestly, if you can go to a convention, you can spring like $7 and just get a clinical fucking deodorant and you're good to go, honey.
Mm.
I love my clinical strengths.
Word that we've been using here is con. So this isn't just for furry cons. This is good etiquette for any con you got.
Damn right. Anime con.
20,000 people plus.
The worst stench I've ever had or experienced A-con was hotel. At an A-con.
Oh,
was
my at A-con. God.
And down in
Reef. We have nothing on that.
Yes.
From a furry perspective.
Oh, God. I walked in the front doors of A-con to put on the room party for FF and just this smell from the downstairs lobby.
That was my first experience with A-con, was walking in that downstairs artist alley area where the reg is and everything, and I opened the door, I was like, ooh, smells like Anthrocon in here. That was the thought that went through my head. And this was on, like, the Thursday before the con, so that wasn't even that many people there, but it was still, like, a lot of people there.
Well, 20,000 more people, it would be as big as Anthrocon left on a Thursday, you know?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
More so,
but still. So, go to cons, enjoy yourselves.
It's not just furry cons, any con.
Go enjoy yourself.
I personally believe that it is, for me, definitely an integral part of my furry experience. And being able to meet so many people from around the country and around the world that I've gotten to talk to or email over the years. To me, it's a big part of my participation in this fandom. Other people maybe feel different, maybe less so. But if you want my opinion, the convention experience is something that you should totally have as a furry.
It's our most social interaction that we get with our friends that we may just talk on the internet with. Mm-hmm. We get to actually spend time with them. We see them maybe once or twice a year. You get to catch up. It's integral to the part of...
Just remember that the experience is going to be what you make it.
Yes.
You read my mind again.
Go with an open mind and talk to people. Don't be the wallflower, because you're not going to have a good con experience by not talking to anyone. You just won't. Yeah. Enjoy yourself, meet new people. Why did you spend all this money to sit on a wall?
Yeah, don't spend all con in the internet room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, if they do that and they enjoy it, it's one thing. It's if you're sitting on a feeling wallflower feeling miserable.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like Teal said earlier, it's okay to take a break every now and then and kind of decompress a little bit, because I know, and I have a little bit of this too, sometimes I'm super social, sometimes I'm not, and I need to just sort of chill for a bit, and that's all good. But we want people at cons to like get out there and meet people and hang out. And for fuck's sake, go to the dealer's room and spend a lot of money.
Yes.
Because 8 out of 10 cons, I will be there selling books. You need to come by some.
Just a little bit of a shill there.
Just a little bit. Yeah, got to throw that out there. So, does anyone have any final thoughts? This is a long episode.
This is a really long episode.
Wrap it up here.
Rant.
This is what happens when you have foxes.
Yep.
Dick wolves.
We are full.
Well, you're always a dick wolf. We have you almost every week.
Kia's just showing me amusing pictures here.
Dick wolves.
Lucy.
Put that up on Twitter.
That's so awesome.
We don't have anything for next week yet. Saverin will post about it when we do.
Dick wolves.
So join us. Join us next week for the most socially acceptable, family-friendly podcast in the furry fandom.
Yep.
Most full of bullshit.
On that note, good night.
And big balls.